When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's the best show. Tonight's best show is going to be awesome. You kidding? It's going to be so much fun. It's awesome. We got Adam Resnick's coming up on the show. He's author of a new book. Will not attend. It's going to be awesome. So much fun. The topic tonight, I don't get it. We're going to talk about the things you don't get, things you try to get but you can't. It's awesome. So much fun. Get ready for that. All kinds of games. It's awesome. So much fun. 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 It's awesome. So much
everybody, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, youngsters and old timers, the best show is back on another exciting Tuesday night here. It's pretty thrilling. We got AP Mike in the house. Are you here tonight, Mike? He's back. Last week, he wasn't. There's a little bit of a disagreement over whether he should operate under a different name, the whole outrageous controversy. But we decided to go forward. He wears the scarlet letter on his yoga pants. My friends, what did I want to tell you? Yes, it's the best show. We got an exciting show for you tonight. Adam Resnick is going to be here. You know him. He of Will Not Attend fame, the book, funniest book ever. He of Get a Life fame. He of Cabin Boy fame. He'll be here. Got the topic tonight. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about things that you tried and you just don't get it. We've talked about this before on the old show. It's one of those things I call an evergreen. We come back to it, and why do we come back? Well, because you are the variable. You, the listening audience, are the variable. The topics change. It's like a way of cataloging the times, hearing the things you don't get. Some of the things in the past people didn't get, now you might get easily. And today's mysteries might be tomorrow's pieces of cake. You, my friends, are under the spotlight. You are the lab rats. We're going full on, what's that study, Mike, where they were zapping the dude, where he's like, if he gets the question wrong, they zap him. And he's like, they got some guy who looks like he was in the LBJ's administration.
Well, the guy says he's in a lot of pain.
All right, he got the question wrong. Please give him a 150 volts.
Oh, that one really hurt. Well, this guy says he's in a lot of pain.
Sir, this is messing with the integrity of the experiment. You know, it just shows any of you rats will go along with anything. One's more of a sheep than the next. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Sheep, not like you and me. We're mavericks. Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're putting our mark on the world. In different ways, admittedly. I gotta start getting into some of these experiments like that. Messing with people's minds. Right? Get them in labs. Trick them. Impractical Joker stuff. What if it turns out Impractical Jokers, that was like a giant experiment? Like Milgram. Milgram, I'm being told it's Milgram. The Milgram experiment. What if you find out that the Impractical Jokers are like the Stanford Prison Experiment? Right? Sal? Turns out he's like a scientific genius. As they prank people. I need some of that. Why can't I get a gig like that, man? Four dudes on Staten Island, hanging at the Staten Island Mall, with headsets in, and they make each other say things, and then these guys are walking away with checks that could, wads of cash that could choke a horse, right? Meanwhile, I'm here eating gruel. It's like gruel, man, gruel, straight up gruel. What music did we hear? Well, I'm going to tell you, we heard something from Karoma, K-U-R-O-M-A. They have a new album out called Karomarama. This is a great, I like this record a lot. Karoma, it's got the drummer, Will, from MGMT. He's in this band. Remember a few years ago, Mike, a guy called saying he was opening for MGMT at the Barclay Center, and then I couldn't go to the show. Well, this is his band. I'm pretty sure I'm getting the story right. I'm probably getting it wrong, but they're great. Caroma. You check it out, man. Name of the record, Caromarama, and the song again was 20 plus centuries. On the Votive record label, V-O-T-I-V. And prior to that, an album I keep going back to over and over, Moses and the Firstborn on Burger Records. So the name of that song is Down with the Band from their self-titled album, Moses and the Firstborn, from 2 years ago. Great album. I'm telling you, man, Impractical Joy, those guys got to figure it out. All right, tell the, they're like in the middle of the mall, like,
tell them you gotta go to the bathroom.
And then they're laughing. And then they say, cut, and then they hand these guys, a bag of cash like it's Jackie Brown. Remember the cash in Jackie Brown, Mike? You like that movie?
Yeah, that was
good. That might be my favorite of the Quentin Tarantino movies. Because it's for adults. I gotta get some of that money, man. Some of that Impractical Joker's money. All right, we're at the mall, and I'm pretending to be running a kiosk selling hot dogs, and somebody comes up, or maybe they'll have a thing where they'll be out there with like a tray of samples, and they'll be, would you like to try these pastries? And then they're in the headset, they're like, tell them that you sneezed on it. Yeah, I sneezed on it. And that's a wrap. And here's everybody's money. Here's your wad of money. Here's your gym bag full of money. Here's your gym bag full of money. Here's your gym bag full of money. And here's your gym bag full of money. Hold on 1 second, my friends. Oh. So, as I was saying, got Adam Resnick coming up in a little bit. You watch Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll yet, Mike? Good, right? It's a good show. You got to check it out, man. That's made for you. Nothing I like better than watching people who can't play instruments, like fake drum, and the one guy on it, that comedian, Robert Kelly. He's like supposed to be the drummer. Well, first of all, they all have cool names on the show. Dennis Leary. There's this new show on FX. It's Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. And it's got Dennis Leary plays a washed up rocker named Johnny Rock, which I guess isn't too on the nose. I guess that, and then he tries to get the band back. The band was called the Heathens. And then he's trying to get the Heathens back together. And then naturally the thing starts with, Dave Grohl talking like a testimonial. He's like, oh man, the Heathens? Are you kidding? It's exactly the same thing I was making fun of a couple weeks ago, where Dave Grohl's saying, participating in every documentary. And then he goes, are you kidding? The Heathens? There would be no Nirvana if it wasn't for the Heathens. It's like, maybe you, maybe that's not a chip you can cash to link Nirvana, their existence, to the existence of this fake Dennis Leary rock band. Then the John Corbett is on it.
and he plays Flash, a guitarist, because he's pretty flashy. And I think there's a bass player whose name I think is Rehab, something like, I think it's Rehab. I really think it was like Rehab. Then the drummer is Bam Bam, because, you know, he hits drums. So he's like, I thought it was Bam Bam because the writing was the level of, like, the writing on the Flintstones. It was like, maybe the writing staff for the Flintstones. Can you imagine the writing staff for the Flintstones? Board, giant board up. Oh, come on. Come on in. Come. Come in. Okay. All right. Giant board up. Flintstones, people breaking Flintstones stories. All right. What are we doing here? Episode 558. Fred gets yelled at by Mr. Slate. All right, let's break the beats on this thing. Let's really get to work on the, make sure this Flintstones episode is as great as can be. In the Flintstones writer's room. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Now I'm not saying oh boy anymore, Mike. Saying oh brother. Mixing it up. So yeah, so this Flintstone, the Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. So it's this band. And then somebody's like, they talk to Dave Grohl, who keeps kind of talking about Nirvana and how important the heathens were to them. And then they talk to Greg Dooley from Afghan Whigs. And he's just talking about how great they were. And then the thing starts, and it's like, somebody's like, man, this band is like if the Who, what did they say again? It was like, man, it's like if the Who, it bleeped the Clash. You're like, whoa, this must be some kind of band. That sounds like, then you hear it, and it's like, you hear what this band, the Heathen, sounds like. And you're like, this sounds like some bad Guns N' Roses side project. The Who, bleep, and the Clash. The only kid they would have would be this band. No. I love the wigs on the show, though. Dennis Leary's wig. I'd watch a show just about that wig, right? Give that wig a series. Hey, Dudio. Dudio went upstairs. I tell you, no offense, that's strike one against Dudio. Mike loves that, because I'll tell you, something we don't talk about here, Mike hates Dudio. Dudio hates Mike. Unwritten. I said it. Sorry, guys. I had to say it. Right? Mike, way too jovial.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate him.
Is there stuff in there? Can you hear it? How about now?
No, and on the end, it's short now, too.
Okay, we'll straighten it out for you.
I got it.
Okay, we'll get it right. Okay, don't worry. We'll get it. So this show, it's like we got to get the band back together, and then they play some, like, and then his daughter shows up, like, because his daughter's got money, and then Johnny Rock, like, hits on his, he doesn't know it's, like, his daughter. And he thinks it's, like, somebody giving him the eye, and it's not. How we doing? And then the band, she's like, I want to be a singer. And then she throws money at them, and then gets them to, like, reunite so the heathens get back together. And it's one of those things. It's like, well, now there'll never be a show about, for another 10 years, there won't be another show about, like, a band on television, because this will be the show about rock music. It's like, well, there goes that window for the next decade. See you in 2022. Maybe another show can be about a rock band. But it's like, it's got that thing where it's like, There's nothing worse than watching somebody who doesn't know how to play an instrument, like, faking it on TV. And it's got some a lot of that in it. Like, thank you, Pat. Pat likes everybody. Pat gets along with Mike and Dudio. What's the dynamic, Pat? Just let me get it straight. Mike hates Dudio.
Right.
Dudio hates Mike.
Sure.
Dudio likes Pat.
I think so.
Pat likes Dudio.
Correct.
Pat likes Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike hates Pat. I'm sorry you had to hear it from me.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Listen.
Look, I just ripped the Band-Aid off. Truth is, Mike wants... And the other thing is, Mike's got this song out now called Michael Perry... Because now Mike apparently is, it's him and James Franco now, just moving from artistic form to artistic form. Mike is now, he's got a song out, he's got an audio book for a children's thing. What's the next thing, Mike? Painting? What are you going to sit in a tank? I should think you should sit in a fish tank like, what's her face there? Maria Sharapova, the artist? What is it? You know the one who sits in the fish tank. No, that's Tilda Swinton. So, it should be like that. So Mike's got this thing. You go to Bandcamp, you can check it out. It's bandcamp.apmike.com. And you can donate money for the song, and you can do $1 as the entry point, but you should do more than that. So I told Mike, if somebody drops $50 on you, I'll match it. And then somebody did, so I matched it. And then I get this email back from Mike, basically saying, thanks for being a fan. Because he didn't know who I was. I gotta read this thing, this email from Mike. Like, it's clearly like he sends it to everyone who donates. Oh, he mixed it up a little bit for me. Thank you, Thomas. Thomas, he called me. Your support means a lot to me, Mike. What a half-hearted. And look, this is what I'll say, Mike. I'm gonna up the challenge. I dropped $50 on you, right? If somebody dropped $100 on you, get ready for this, Mike. I'll drop $100 of my own on it. I'll keep going with this. Yeah. If somebody donates $100 to Mike, I'll match it for $100. That'd be a $150 for Mike on this song. And look, he didn't even send me a download to the song. Drop $50 on him. You'd figure I'd get a download of it. No. Guess he's too busy. I'm telling you, man, sex and drugs and rock and roll, you got to see, it's like, because they take, I picture up in heaven, God says, man, I'm going to cancel the comedians, but don't worry, dropping a new show on you guys, sex and drugs and rock and roll, just like he says, I'm going to give you another taste of Entourage again with the Entourage movie, but I won't leave you hanging, here's Ballers. Like, God is programming the worst television network in history. He's making sure that people just get their trash. And look, I watched every episode of The Comedians. I'll say this. I think there were like 13 episodes of it. That was all over the map, man. That show, that did not track. But I'll say this. The last two episodes, and look, this is where I'll say it. The last two episodes were good. I thought the last two episodes of that show were good because it seemed like they made it like a straight drama. And look, this pains me to say, Billy Crystal in a thing. This guy's one of my least favorite. Talk about making a man. Give me a fraction of what that dude starts. Picture this. Starts off doing comedy. Does a third-rate Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali impression. Starts getting on events with Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. So at least with Muhammad Ali. Just because he goes,
You look here, Joe Frazier. I'm the greatest. You never seen anyone fight. You dirty rat.
You got... No, that's not... That's Jimmy Cagney. But he's like, he might as well have been that. Is the air working in here, guys? Is it just slow going? Would you mind checking that, Pat? What's that, Mike? You feel a little damp? Oh, choice of words with this guy. He really is like the James Franco of this show. He's doing a song. Next thing you know, he's doing a children's book. Next thing you know, he'll be like, picture him with like a, explaining to people that like, when he looks at a block of marble, that it's just like, it's, he sees it's what isn't there is what makes the statue. Like that's 2 years from now, Mike will have a beret on and, he'll be with one of those paint boards in his hand and he'll be painting a statue. Like he'll actually like not exactly be in control of his art. He'll have a paintbrush and he'll be painting a giant block of marble. That might be the most brilliant thing ever. Has any artist ever done that? Just paint, just do the thing on the wrong form, right? Take a block of marble, you paint it. Take a canvas, you shape it into a statue. I think I might have just reinvented the history of art. How about that? And then Mike could steal it. Mike will grab it, as he's wont to do. He puts it in action. I just complain. Mike's a doer. He's out there doing. So anyway, this show, The Comedians, it's Billy Crystal who does this Joe Frazier, no, this Muhammad Ali impression. And then he gets on soap. Then he goes from soap to his own Billy Crystal variety show, which if you listen to his audiobook, which I listen to, still fooling him. Like, most arrogant thing ever. Still fooling him. Like, he doesn't think he's the greatest human who ever walked the earth. He acts like he's just, I'm just a nobody. Still fooling him. Making him think I'm just a regular. It's like, no, you love you more than anyone has ever loved themselves. Still fooling him. Just doing my thing. So he gets this Billy Crystal variety show, and then he blames its failure on what? Oh, that Rock Hudson had a heart attack, so his show got, like, delayed, and then they had to put the Billy Crystal show on real fast, and then, yeah, that's, I love those showbiz excuses. Why don't you just blame it on the hostages? You know, we were doing my variety show, and then all of a sudden, an evil man named the Ayatollah came along and he took hostages in the real tragedy of that was my variety show did not get the ratings it should have. So he does that. By all rights, he should have been shown the door now. But then he somehow ends up cobbling his way into what he, movies and stuff to where suddenly he's a romantic lead in a movie, that guy. As a lead in a romantic comedy. That's that thing, man, where you go back in time. You gotta stop. They say stop Hitler. I say stop Billy Crystal, then Hitler. Like, that's like 1 and 1A. Sure. Yes, I'm gonna go get Hitler. Don't worry. But I just gotta take care of this one guy first. Trust me. No. I'm gonna take care of Hitler. I promise you. But before I do Hitler, I'm just going to swing out into the Bronx or wherever Billy Crystal was from. And just going to shove this guy in the Hudson. There's a kid I want to push in the Hudson. So then he becomes a movie star and he's got When Harry Met Sally and Forget Paris where he's a NBA ref. And you get him yelling at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or whatever he was doing. Then those movies go down the tank because now he's doing things with My Giant. Remember these movies he's doing? It's just like, so he ruins that. Then he ends up like on Broadway and like wins a Tony
for this 700 Sundays show where it's him talking all about. And in the meantime, he gets to be friends with like Mickey Mantle and all like his heroes. He's hanging out with like Mid the Mick. Ugh. So he's hanging out with these guys. He's got all his heroes in line. Then he becomes like a Broadway star. That show, you imagine how much money he made on that show? 700 Sundays. It's him and what? Like a wireless mic? Like he's doing a seminar out by the airport? And he's like talking all about like, what, like Whitey Ford and then he's like, it's like it's a show with no overhead. You know, where they do some slide projector, they play a slide thing here's Mickey Mantle, a slide of Mickey Mantle. Then that happens. Then he ends up, I'm missing something here. What did he do, Mike? He had something else. This rat. What's that? Oh, that's the other thing. Then he plays for the Yankee. Like, he gets his fantasy granted where I went to Yankee training camp and then they let me have an at-bat. I'll tell you one thing. If I was a pitcher and this 60-year-old dude got up to the plate, he would be getting medevaced off the field if I had anything to say about it. I would never throw a ball as fast as I could that I have to pitch to the biggest indignity ever. Billy Crystal stepping up to the plate. I get what he's, cause he's a huge, oh, you don't realize this guy's a huge fan, huge Yankee fan. I don't care. I've never thrown a ball as hard as I'm going to throw this one. He's going to, they call it chin music. And I'm going to play a song right now called Watch Me Hit the Guy from Princess Bride in the forehead with this baseball. Oh, so he's got this dream. Meanwhile, I'm sweating here. Got Mike and Dudio out there giving each other the evil eye as if it's the Highlander. There can only be one, these guys. You guys are going to have to play nice. Meanwhile, I'm sliding down the ladder here. I'm going to like, you know, like Lloyd. It's like I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy the other day, and I saw like Lloyd Kaufman, the guy that's Trauma, had like a cameo, and he's like, "Get him!" Like he like yelled, and like that guy, like Lloyd Kaufman, the guy who did like Trauma films, like Toxic Avenger, and all these other movies, and the Sergeant Kabuki Man, and. He's like it's like he shepherded that guy James Gunn who directed Guardians of the Galaxy along. So now he throws him a bone and puts him in the movie. I think I'm heading for Lloyd Kaufman territory, Mike, where I'm going to end up on some podcast, like a successful podcast, like making a... Oh, it's Saturday Night Live. That's what I missed. He was on Saturday Night Live. So he ends up on Saturday Night Live. Billy Crystal doing a full-on blackface routine where how did that slip through the cracks where we didn't run him into the Atlantic, like just run him through the streets. He was such a fan of Sammy Davis Jr. that he went and put on black makeup, you know, this thing that just he such a huge fan that he decided to continue the tradition of blackface. What a better honor. Is there a greater honor than to... He'll keep alive this shame of show business. So look, that said, I watch this comedians. I'm trying to stop hate watching stuff. I don't have time for that. The true low point was there was a day when I... woke up one morning. This is maybe the low point of my entire life. And there's been some low, trust me, there's been some low points. Like on the day after 9/11 when I ate an entire cheesecake in the Trader Joe's parking lot. That was one of the low points.
me being on the Ferris wheel, asking to get off, pretending to be on a cell phone to get off, like, because I was starting to freak out for being on. I acted like I had an important call coming on, and I had to get off that Ferris wheel. Yeah, I got a call here. What? Hello? Oh, you're here already? Okay, Ferris wheel comes back down. Yeah, I got to get off this thing. I got this call. I got to. My friend's here. 15-year-old operating the Ferris wheel, looking at me like, A, knowing I'm not into it, and he sees my face as white as a sheet, and B, not caring about the lies. Then there's the Patti Smith incident in the elevator. But the hate watching, the low point was waking up. Picture this, Mike. I wake up. I get dressed. I drive 10 minutes to the movie theater near my house. I watch a 10 a.m. showing of The Animal, starring Rob Schneider. I go home and brush my teeth and take a shower. I literally went to the movies as if I had rolled out of bed in the theater. Like that. That is maybe the lowest of low points. So, but that was me hate watching. I knew I wasn't going to be like, oh, The Animal looks good. Could be good. Deuce Bigelow was pretty good. I wonder if this is, he keeps the streak alive. No, I knew I was going to see something terrible. So I'm trying to get past this hate watching thing. I only reserve it for a couple things now. The comedians was this Billy Crystal obsession with me is, runs deep. And he did blackface again. He didn't do blackface when he did that comic relief thing where he was the jazz man. Which, by the way, is one of the things people ask me about the jazz man. The jazz man and Gathering of the Juggalos are the two things I get asked. Jazz man, I think, might be in the lead now. Gathering of the Juggalos, every August I hear about it again because it's like Christmas when the, what? What do they want to talk about? The Juggalos. Well, who is it? Is his name Jeff? Yeah, that's the guy, he did the Gary the Squirrel single. He's a wrestler now. And wrestler, how about that Hulk Hogan, huh? Can we, who would have, as I said on Twitter, everyone loved when I said, who would have thought that a wrestler would have turned out to be dumb? Who would have, how could we have ever called a pro wrestler letting us down from an intellectual standpoint? We could have never seen that coming. There's a refrigerator out there. And is the air working, guys? It's hot in here. It's hotter than the devil's drawers. Sorry, watch my language. Okay, we getting there? I can feel, I feel it when you open the door, it feels cooler in there. Now, Dudio, real quick. Just, I ran it down with Pat.
Okay.
Just so I can. You hate Mike.
Yeah.
Mike hates you.
Correct.
You like Pat.
Okay.
You're neutral on Pat. Pat likes you.
Yes.
Mike hates Pat.
Yes.
Pat likes Mike.
Yes.
Is that the dynamic?
That's
okay.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting in there with us right now.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got that straight. So then I watch this comedians, right? And then and it's a giant mess. And you got Billy Crystal in it, and he's doing things. But then these final two episodes, I'm telling you, there was a speech in this final episode of The Comedians where I was like, you know what? I gotta give him credit on that. That was a touching speech. He said this thing about just realizing where you get to in your life and you have a thing. It's like, credit where credit's due, man. I give you credit, Billy Crystal. You did it. You did it, man. You magnificent bastard. And the topic tonight, I don't get it. What we're going to talk about are the things where people, The things you try in your life. I want to understand this. Everybody seems to like it. But you can't. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Let's go to the phones, then we'll bring Adam Resnick in the studio in a matter of moments. Best Show, you're on the air.
Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mary in Brooklyn.
Mary.
Tom.
Is this Mary?
Yes.
How are you, Mary?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Do I know you, Mary?
Yes, we're Instagram friends.
We're Instagram friends? Does your last name begin with an H?
Yes.
Is the next letter an O?
Yes. Keep going.
Is the letter after that a U?
Yes. Keep going.
You're Mary Houlihan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're really funny.
Oh, thanks.
I think you're super funny, and you're a great painter, too.
Oh, get out of here. Nothing compared to AP Mike.
Well, look, you can get a salon going.
Yeah.
You and AP Mike and Dudio and
Pat B.
And Pat B. And God knows who else can be in this. By the way, Pat Byrne, his show, Prove It All Night. He's got this show, Prove It All Night. Have you heard about this thing?
That's a good show.
It is
God.
Good. I know. It's on WFMU, the station I used to be on.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of it? Well, you should check it out someday, Mary. Prove It All Night is Pat Byrne's show. It's Saturday nights. And this Saturday, 9 p.m. to midnight, he's got a show live. You can come out to watch it over at WFMU's own live space over at Montgomery Street in Jersey City. And his guests this week are going to be Christy Chiello, Nate Fernald.
Oh, he's so funny.
Fernald. Brett.
No, it's Fernald.
Fernald, yeah.
Yes.
Somebody named Brett Davis.
Ugh.
I know, right? Dan Licata. And then the music of Sunshine in the Rain. I love that band. It's Black Hollies, ex-Black Hollies. Member. So that's, you go to that, you go to, where can people find out about that, Pat? Where can people get more info on that?
It's on Facebook, but Pat doesn't have Facebook.
It's on Facebook. Mary said it's on Facebook. So Mary Houlihan, popular comedian, painter, artist. What's going on?
Well, I know you just plugged a show and all, but I really want to plug a show.
You plug your show as much as you go ahead.
Okay. Oh, right. There's this amazing show. It's just like Pee-wee's Playhouse, but with a millennial twist. It's called Cartoon Monsoon. Every Friday at the Annoyance Theater at 8 p.m., except, not anymore. This week is the closing night, so everyone should go.
Cartoon Monsoon.
Yes.
Friday night.
Yes.
The Annoyance Theater.
Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn, New York. Maybe I'll come someday and see it. I can't this Friday. I'm busy. But I will. I want to see it. I'll see the show sometime.
Oh, thank God.
So what's going on, Mary? Anything going on exciting?
No, nothing.
Is there anything with the topic that you can't get? You've tried to get into it, but you can't appreciate. It doesn't make sense. What's something like that just you can't get?
Kate Bush,
it doesn't do it for you.
Well, I like two of her songs. Her two most popular songs on Spotify.
You like Wuthering Heights, right? You like Wuthering Heights.
Yes, and Babushka.
And Babushka.
Yes.
You don't like, you'll be running up that hill, running up that road, running up that mountain. I think you'd like that one if you heard that one. And you know it's another good song? Cloud Bursting by Kate Bush. I think you'd like that one, too.
All right.
I'm going to get with that. Look, if you can't get all the way in, Kate Bush, I see Kate Bush being kind of, what is it? It feels too like theatrical, like a little too, like a little too showy.
I guess so. Sometimes I wonder if there's like, maybe like if I was born in Great Britain, I would understand it. But
yes.
Maybe there's like a cultural thing.
Well, she's huge in Great Britain.
Ugh, I live there.
What's that?
If only I lived there, I would get her.
You would get it, but now you're here, so you get other things that the people of England can't understand. Like, you understand Chris Gethard.
Oh, yeah.
He's like our Kate Bush.
Exactly. Well, they have such a similar vocal range.
I'm going to say Kate Bush might have a little more range on her voice than Chris does. I've seen Chris do karaoke, though. He's got a good voice.
Oh, okay. What's his go-to?
I can't remember what he did. My go-to now in karaoke is I like doing that song. I like doing All the Small Things by Blink-182.
That's so funny.
That gets it's a song you need half of an octave range to do.
And that's good because the na-na-na's, that gets a lot of people involved.
Gets everybody going, exactly. You get it, Mary.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Mary Houlihan?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at Mary Houli, Houlie.
All right. They should do that.
Yeah, and go to Cartoon Month this Friday.
Go check the show out, yes. I might go see it. One of these Fridays, I'm just going to show up. Can you believe it?
No.
Hell, I'll go. What do I got going on? All right. Thanks a lot, Mary. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, see you soon.
All right, bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Jeff from New Providence.
Jeff from New Providence. Do I know this, Jeff?
Yes, sir, you do.
I do. Is this Jeff Cannonball?
Yes, it is.
Now, you, sir, you were in a band called the Altered Boys.
I was.
And the Altered Boys did one of the sides of the Gary the Squirrel, Two Sides of the Squirrel EP, the hardcore side.
Yes.
Which is still one of the greatest records ever, I feel.
It was probably the most fun I ever had recording a record, to be honest with you.
Well, that's awesome. Now, you, though, Jeff... The band is done, yes?
Yeah, more or less. I'm sure we'll end up playing at some point. Our singer lives in Washington State now, so it's stagnant right now.
Yeah, so the band's on hiatus. But you're throwing your hat into a different ring. You now, I see these pictures on Instagram. You are a pro wrestler now. Well, not a pro wrestler, you're a wrestler, hoping to be pro.
Independent pro wrestling.
Where did this come from, this desire?
Well, I've been a big wrestling fan ever since I was a young child. And I guess when I got a little bit older, there was a company out of Philadelphia called ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of made being a wrestler seem a little more possible.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a big inspiration for me. And then, I went through high school, went through college, got my real job and all that. And I still kind of had it in the back of my head, and I kind of just went for it one day. Mm-hmm.
Now, who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
Of all time, Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yes.
What about Macho Man?
I always love Macho Man, of course.
Ooh, yeah. When he goes like, that one video, I've watched that one video probably 30 times where he's like, nothing means nothing.
Yeah, there's plenty of good Macho Man things out there.
Nothing means nothing. Jack Tunney. WWF Commissioner Jack Tunney. The Macho Man isn't happy. Nothing means nothing. Maybe the deepest statement anyone's ever said. Nothing means nothing. Like, if a philosopher said that, nothing means nothing, everybody would still be quoting. If that was said 150 years ago, people would be like, well, you know, as I don't even know if philosophers the name to even say one. They'd be like, as who's a philosopher, Mike?
I don't know, but I think it's from King Lear.
Nothing means, wait, that's King Lear? Isn't that your nickname, King Lear, but L-E-E-R, Mike?
I get
it. What if that was your nickname, King Lear?
Like,
you would not like it. Okay, fair enough.
Nothing means nothing.
But, like, I wonder if 200 years from now people will be saying, well, you know, this guy, Randy Savage, said nothing means nothing in the eternal wisdom of Macho Man Randy Savage. And the funny thing is, like, I blanked. Remember when Jesse Ventura was elected governor of Minnesota?
Sure.
That first night, I blanked for about 5 minutes. I kept picturing Macho Man Randy. I was like, wait a minute, that guy's the governor of Minnesota? I was just picturing the sunglasses and the cowboy hat. And I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. You look here, Jack Tunney. Macho Man is in happy.
I wonder if him and Hulk Hogan, well, he's no longer with us.
No.
Macho Man would hate this whole Hulk Hogan thing.
I mean, I would hope so.
I like how Hulk Hogan is like,
well, the president said the N-word.
And it's like, yeah, it's a different context, you dimwit. It's like he was saying it to make a point about things. You were saying it because you were just spreading hate when you said your thing. But then again, guy's recorded in a bedroom, his weird hate speech sex tape. Yeah. Hulk Hogan. Who would have thought that that's what you'd think of now when you think of Hulk Hogan? When you saw his picture. Oh, yeah, that's the guy with the sex tape that has all that hate speech on it. Did he do anything other than that? Oh, well, he's a wrestler for 45 years before that. But now we know him as a guy with a sex tape that's peppered with hate speech. So you, sir, Jeff, wrestled at the Gathering of the Juggalos, which was this past weekend.
Yes, it was.
Because they have wrestling there.
They have four nights of wrestling, and I was on the second to last night of wrestling.
Okay. And what is the name of your character?
Jeff Cannonball.
Jeff Cannonball. So that is the name of your character.
Yes, it is.
And what is the backstory for Jeff Cannonball?
It's basically just me, but I yell a lot more, just being a hyperactive punk character. And I mean, you've met me. I'm a large individual. But I do a lot of, like, kind of flying around, like a lot of more jumping than most fat guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of goes with that.
Okay.
As well.
What? All right, you said it. I didn't.
I can say it.
So, what if I pitched you this character? Look, this Jeff Cannonball character sounds like a straight up winner. I'm not gonna. But what if I pitched you this character? You go on stage. You go into the ring. Sleeveless denim vest. Bandana tied around your head, right?
Okay.
Total Jersey, because you're from Jersey, right?
Yes.
What if you pretend to be a Bruce Springsteen fan who's been frozen in time for the last, since the Born in the USA tour, and you just got defrosted, and you think it's like 80s wrestling era? Like, and you act like it's still the 80s in terms of wrestling stuff and in terms of your love of Bruce Springsteen?
Unfortunately, on the independent scene, there's some people who are still stuck in the 80s, so I think it might go over better than you might think.
But that's you'll be making fun of them, too.
That's true.
And they'll think, that's a cool character, man. But meanwhile, you're like, yeah, I'm sending you up.
Right.
Think about that,
I would need to grow my hair out a little bit for that, though.
You pretend. No, you don't need to do a thing. You just pretend you were stuck in, you got frozen, you fell into like Captain America style, you got frozen and you just got defrosted, and you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, a Jersey era Springsteen at the peak of his. I remember being outside of a record store when Bruce Springsteen tickets would go on sale, and this is when people had to line up for tickets and stuff, and I remember you'd go past this thing and there'd be like a line of ticket, like people lined up for blocks. And I remember being at this one, past this one record store, and I remember this guy running out and he goes, I got four seats. And he's screaming, I got four seats. And these were floor seats for Giant Stadium, which means he could still be 3/4 of a mile from the stage. Floor seats. It's a football field. It's not a floor. I got floor seats. Look, that's my pitch to you, Jeff.
I will.
You sleep on that. So tell me about, so you go to the Gathering of the Juggalos and you're wrestling at this thing, and is it people smashing like fluorescent light bulbs over each other's heads?
Yeah, or? I mean, I do the normal wrestling too, but every once in a while I'll do the more violent one. It might not be worth it to everybody, but it does pay a little more money, so I'm open to it. And that's just what they wanted me for. I did, it was fluorescent light bulbs and big panes of glass.
Wait, hold on, so you actually did that? You actually smashed a fluorescent light bulb over your head?
Yeah, I got slammed on it. I didn't get smashed over my head, though.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
How can you do it? Doesn't it hurt?
It doesn't feel good, that's for sure. I've got some cuts that I've been taking care of now.
Just smashing light bulbs over your head.
Like I said, I don't always do it, but every once in a while it'll arise and the money will be right.
Well, you know what they say. Red means green. I saw that when John Stossel did an investigative report on wrestling. This one wrestler was like, red means green. I'm telling you.
Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, he said red means green. That means if you bleed, you get paid more.
And unfortunately, it's true.
So what was it like being there at the Gathering of the Juggalos with all those people in one place listening to great bands like Cottonmouth Kings and Twisted?
I was there the day Twisted played, and I didn't realize that it was a big deal because they haven't played The Gathering in years, but I didn't get to watch them, unfortunately, I guess. Call time for me was 9 p.m., but I showed up at 3:30 p.m. because I needed to kind of just take the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first guys I walked by, after getting through a line of tents that just offered every drug from Vicodin to acid, one of the first people I walked by, he's got his hand covered in soda, and on his soda-covered hand, there's a ton of bees. And so I double-take, like anybody would, I would assume, and he just looks at me and shrugs and goes, you know, man, bees are juggalos, too. And at that bees moment, I realized...
When a guy says to you, bees are juggalos, too, then you say what? You say...
I kept walking, but I was just, that's when it hit me that, you know, this isn't going to be a normal day.
Mm-hmm. That's putting it mildly. Who was like the old timey act? Because sometimes they have like people from like the like old school artists. Did they have anybody at that this time at the Gathering of the Juggalos?
The day I was there, the only ones that I remember were Twisted, and that was the big deal of the day, and, a band called Mushroom Head.
Mushroom Head.
Looked like a low-rent Slipknot. If that's
a low-rent Slipknot.
Yeah.
That means you're not paying your rent. If you're a low-rent Slipknot, that means you are ducking your landlord.
It looked like they probably have once or twice in their time.
Can you imagine a low-rent Slipknot? Who do you think my favorite member of Slipknot is? I'll tell you. Four. Who do you think my least favorite is? I'm going to tell you. Six. I'm going to rank the members of Slipknot now. 4, 2, 1, 5, 7, 9, 8, 6. It's funny because it's like those numbers, that's also for Slipknot fans, they might think that's like their prison number.
Oh.
You know. Were there a lot of ankle bracelets at the Gathering of the Juggalos? A lot of... I heard it's so crowded there because half the people are parole officers at the thing and half are audience members.
Of everybody there, I only saw three cops throughout the day, but I don't know why they were there because I also saw plenty of drug deals going down right in front of them.
Yeah.
Public intoxication, obviously, and nudity.
A drug bridge? Drug bridge?
I've learned that that was at the last location. They've changed locations now.
Where's it now? International waters?
It's in...
Can you imagine? Juggalos out in international waters? We're out on an aircraft carrier. They're out on like some abandoned oil rig in the middle of nowhere. You have to like row out your boat to it, right?
I mean, after seeing what I saw, I feel like that could be happening in the near future.
I can't believe it, man. All the look, Look, more power. God bless these fans, because they don't seem to be fighting each other and turning it in. You saw three cops the whole time you were there, but everybody seems to be respecting the event.
Yeah.
And not getting stupid with it beyond a point. Look, they're getting stupid with it the second they click send on the ticket purchase. They're getting stupid with it, but they're not getting stupid with it in terms of they're hurting each other. So I give them credit. I give those fans credit.
As trashy as some things were, I got to be honest, everybody seemed real nice. At one point, I couldn't find the wrestling stage when I first got there, and I was by myself. And I guess a guy noticed that I was kind of confused looking around. And he asked where I was going. I told him, he goes, "Here, I'll walk you there." And he walked me across the entire field, because that's how lost I was, and brought me there, and then gave me a map of the fairgrounds. So I got to say that they were extremely nice.
Well, that's awesome. You know what? It's like, this is how it breaks down there. One quarter of the people there are performing, because there's 800 acts at the thing. One quarter of the people are concert attendees. One quarter of the people are the concert attendees' parole officers. And that final quarter is made up of people covering the Gathering of the Juggalos, ironically, for their blog or website or whatever. And the only other one would be Nathan Rabin, would be the only... He's an outlier for all four of those. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the call. I'm glad you're okay. Stay safe.
Thank you very much.
And consider that wrestling character, the Bruce Springsteen fan, frozen in time.
I'll pitch it to some bosses this weekend.
Okay. You take care. Thanks, buddy. Bye. My friends, I want to tell you all about... what do I want to tell you all about? Well, sit back and listen to what I'm going to tell you all about, my friends. Sleep. How important is sleep? It's so important. And today's sponsor for the best show is Casper Mattresses. And Casper Mattresses, what are they? Well, I'm going to tell you. Casper Mattresses, they're obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And now, you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/bestshow and using code bestshow. Yeah, sleep. Super important. You spend a third of your life sleeping, so you make sure you do it on a good mattress, not some thing where it feels like rocks and the towels rolled up under a sheet. Can't get a good night's sleep, you spend the rest of your day miserable. Casper Mattresses brings together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days, latex foam and memory foam. They've got just the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. They've got a risk-free trial and return policy. They deliver the mattress straight to you. You can try it for 100 days. How about that? 100 days you can try this mattress out for. And if you're not happy, they pick the mattress back up. You go to the store, maybe you try a mattress for a minute. You feel self-conscious laying on a thing in the middle of a store. Casper, you get to sleep on it in your actual house. It's $500 for a twin-size mattress and $950 for a king-size mattress. Compare that to industry averages, and that is an outstanding price. And you get $50 toward any mattress purchase. You go to Casper.com/bestshow and use the offer code BESTSHOW. Terms and conditions apply. Casper Mattresses, thank you to them for bringing today's show to you. And I want you all to know Sharpling and Worcester are playing live West Coast, touring Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. The dates are up at StereoLaughs.com. You go to StereoLaughs.com/tour, and that's Laughs, L-A-F-F-S. Thursday, August 27th in Seattle at Numo's. Saturday, August 29th in Portland at Doug Fir. Thursday, September 3rd in San Francisco, the Great American Music Hall. And Saturday, September 5th, Los Angeles at the LRA Theater. And I'm telling you, a couple of these shows are very close to selling out. You do not want to miss your tickets, because when they're gone, they're gone. And I'm not going to let anybody in. I don't want to hear any sob stories. You couldn't get in. StereoLaughs.com/tour. Is Adam Resnick here?
Yeah.
Would you come in, sir, please? If you don't mind. Remember, bees are juggalos, too. Speaking of the another person fresh from the gathering of the juggalos, we have Adam Resnick here, the that throat clearer was...
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Do you need something to drink?
I want
you
to keep going.
We have a refrigerator.
As always.
Well, thanks. So nice of you.
Oh, you know, I had a water and I forgot to bring it in.
Okay. Mike, can you tell Dudio to tell Pat to bring Adam's water in?
I can get my own water. Do you want to go out and get it?
No, somebody will help.
Okay. And this is short email still.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get it.
I'll hold on.
Okay.
That's okay.
There's another pair of headphones here. We'll. It's already breaking down. Our stuff's already breaking down. Pat's not out
Thanks.
There.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy. Fresh one and the old one.
I like this.
Boy.
Oh, that's just... Yeah, this really, you'll never... I've had this, you know, where your headphones go bad. You can't do it. You can't fix it. So unfixable. I'll try. I can hold on to it and try to, like...
move it around, it'll...
Yeah, but it doesn't stay.
It comes back to life.
Yeah.
It's already breaking down.
That took a blow. This took a blow.
Might as well just...
Someone hurt this one.
Set this whole place alight, right? Set it alight.
No, it's great.
And the best show. What do you think?
Want to try another one? We have other ones.
Yeah, let me try that.
It's plugging this one.
Everybody, you got to know. You're asking... there's a few of you saying to yourself, who is Adam Resnick? Well, I'm going to tell you. This guy... He wrote a book, came out last year, called Will Not Attend. And it's one of the funniest books I've ever read. It's stories from his life. And he also wrote on the Late Night with David Letterman. And
good Bill Wendell.
Saturday Night Live. Right, you wrote on Saturday Night Live?
For like 2 days.
Yeah. For 2 days?
It was very short, yeah.
Were they good days?
No, actually, there was... It was a bad season, I think.
Making copies?
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect.
Awesome.
Here's this one. Thanks.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Dudio.
No problem.
I tell you. What do you think of that, Mike? Dudio fixed the headphones.
Cans are a little hot, Tom.
Cans are a little hot. Yeah. Which channel is this, Dudio? Three?
Yeah, just go ahead and bring two and three down, just to be safe.
Okay.
Perfect.
Is that good?
That's perfect.
All right.
You know, when I was walking in, I
thank you.
I don't know the context, but you have to tell me. You were saying something about the writer's room for the Flintstones or something.
I was trying to picture what that would be like. picture boards and them trying to break a Flintstone story. Like,
yeah, right.
They must have been doing two a day, though, right? Just like that's. Then Wilma gets a little elephant vacuum cleaner.
They had the Bible from the Honeymooners and just said, oh, let's do the one where, you know, that's all it was.
And they're just like, man.
And then when that hit rock bottom and they brought in that Martian, you know. And that was like,
Gazoo.
Yeah.
No pun intended, rock bottom, right? That was no pun intended.
Very good, yeah.
Rock bottom. He could have been a character on the Flintstones. Rock bottom.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. Remember that?
Was that the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine that movie?
Yeah, I've seen some of the sequels. I think was there two?
Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, there
was
right.
Viva Rock Vegas.
Right.
Where like John Goodman, they were just like, where he's just like, nah, I'm not doing this one.
Actually, who was the guy that was Friday? There was a guy, but I don't know who that was.
Who did? I think it was like,
one of the Baldwins was Barney.
Yeah. Was it the guy from David Thewlis? Was that who it was, Mike? No, I'm kidding. It was
Michael Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis, he'd be a good Fred Flintstone, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. John Goodman was in the first one. Then they kept making them, and John Goodman was just like, yeah, I'm going to stop being in these now.
The first one, before it was, you know, it went through, I can remember there was a period where you'd hear a lot about it. You know, there'd been, you know, went through another draft and went to another writer. Mm-hmm. It was like the hottest thing in town was the Flintstone script.
To get on board.
To get on board. Because Spielberg was involved with it. And so that's what they got.
Yeah, you get to punch up. I came up with a scene where Barney, can you imagine somebody like bragging? Yeah, I worked on the, that's me up there. That's my thing. Barney's got he made his own bowling ball with the birds.
Yeah, but imagine them, they're squirreled away with their stack of Flintstone VHS tapes, watching the episodes to, you know, get the inspiration.
Yeah,
like
with a pad.
Yeah,
scribbling frantically.
Yeah.
What if we have Bam Bam do a
Should we save Bam Bam for the sequel? I mean, should Bam Bam? Do we want to do we want to cash that chip yet?
Right. Yeah.
Bam Bam might be good. That might be a good make a good plot point for the sequel. It's like, maybe you guys should not hold back now on what the Flintstones movie should be. Yeah, and those birds, those animals. It's a living.
It's a living, all right, right.
It's a living.
I never get tired of that.
Right?
Yeah.
The birds.
The birds.
Right? It's a living.
Yeah, and there was something that the, what was the vacuum cleaner? That was something.
It's like a woolly mammoth.
Yes.
Right? Like, hey, your point, your purpose is you just eat dirt all the time.
Yeah.
This woman's going to just kick you. And you eat dirt. Just with your, trunk. Just suck up any dirt in the house. Oh, I don't eat dirt. That's not, I kind of don't live on dirt. I'm like an animal. Like,
right.
Consuming dirt is really bad for me.
And in the end, they just throw it in the closet, and that's it. Was there food in the closet for the vacuum cleaner?
I don't think we ever saw anyone eat any of the appliances, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I never knew when I was a kid what that thing was on in the. Is it the ending or the opening credits where they pull into the drive-through? Now I know it's ribs, but I never knew what the hell that was, the thing that knocks the car over.
Yeah. Look, uncooked.
Yeah, uncooked.
Right?
Yeah, well, he was an animal. He was a caveman.
And that's the other thing. Yeah. He was a caveman.
Yeah.
He's driving his car. The whole thing doesn't make sense. The whole thing is not
Donald
very
Trump
good.
Would say it was a disaster.
The Flintstones is a total disaster. like him just reviewing it. The show's stupid.
By the way, what happened since the ride over here, since I took the PATH train over? What's the latest with Donald Trump? What did he do in the last 20 minutes?
Did anything happen?
Yeah.
I didn't know did anything happen. We're all in there's a little bit of Hulk Hogan crisis here.
Yes, I know that, yeah. He was...
Because Mike doesn't want me to say it. Mike's a huge Hulkamaniac.
Oh, no, really?
I know. Mike was a huge... Do you ever see the commercial for the Hulk Hogan thing, the pasta... He opened, like, in the Mall of America, Hulk Hogan's pasta. And it was like, pasta mania. And then he's doing this thing. He's just like, all you kids out there, you got to realize, my pasta maniacs, I'm looking lean and mean because I'm eating this pasta. It's like, yeah, that's always the first food you go to when you want to slim down. Just start pounding bowls of pasta. That's just a tried and true weight loss measure.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was appealing to the runners, the kids that were marathon.
There were no runners in his audience.
Carving up or something.
No, they're sitting eating a bowl of pasta, watching him wrestle. I'm leaning mean from all this pasta I'm eating.
Was this a canned pasta?
It was
Chef Boyardee variety type of pasta.
But it was like he had like his like Hulk Hogan, like the Mall. I mean, have you ever been to the Mall of America?
No, I haven't.
I've never been there. It's what, in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, oh, it's got all these things in it. It's got a Ferris wheel and a roller coaster or whatever. It's just like...
Yeah.
Just seems like a garbage heap.
And also, what I'm trying to figure what a mall that large, what do they come up with that isn't just in like Garden State Plaza? All the stores are there, but what are the add-ons?
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is. Like how, you know, I can't imagine. What could it possibly be?
You tell me I can't go out to Nyack and
Nyack,
go to that
right,
mall?
Yeah, there's everything at Nyack.
The Nyack Mall.
That food court is amazing.
It's got a Ferris wheel in it.
Ferris wheel and a Joe's Stone Crab House, I think.
Do you know who ate at that food court every day for years?
No.
Jason Walliner.
Oh, really? Was he from this area?
He was from around there, and he worked near there, and he ate there every day.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I could almost do that. There's an IHOP in there now too. There's a lot of stuff in that food court. I'm sorry. And there was that place called Stir Crazy, which just went out.
Was it like walks food?
Yeah, walks. Like yeah.
He
that's so funny that Jason.
Jason ate at Fatburger every day, and then they gave him like a shirt, like, and then he was just like,
in L.A.
No, the one in Nyack. Like he ate it.
Was there a Fatburger?
There was a Fatburger there, and then
it's funny. They
gave him a shirt, and he's just. I think that was like the inciting moment when he was like,
I need to change some things here in my life.
Yeah, that happens to me in Subway places where I end up going too much, and they start calling me boss and stuff. Then I know I'm in trouble.
Because you like Subway a lot, right?
I mean, I don't. It's not like I think it's the greatest thing. It's just easy, and it actually is pretty good. And for a while there, I was getting it every single day, and those guys always recognized me. And the one time, then I was going to this one where I was running this office, and I changed offices and hadn't been there in like a year and a half, and I walked in. I walked in, boss, where you been? And it's like, all the people that come in that place, yeah. You know.
Where have I been? There's one of these every three blocks. No offense to your Subway.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was at a different Subway. It's like you're just like, no, we need to go 4 miles to that Subway over there. That's the best Subway. And then there was this commercial, like, where the guy's, like, trying to say, like, hey, we can make the Subway sandwiches, like, we could give them some flavor. Is that, like, a complaint that they're flavorless? Like, there was, like, a commercial, like, actively addressing the idea, like, hey, we can add some flavor to your sandwich. Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
A problem that they'd been having.
I thought the whole thing was that the bread, you can smell it, like, it smells like it smells like industrial,
yeah,
bread.
And when that stuff, if you dine in at the Subway, you know, as I've done plenty of times, that bread, once it attaches to the fabric to your clothing, that's it. The rest of the day, you're in the Subway. That you're in a Subway, no matter where you are. It smells like Subway just from that. For their fresh baked bread, it gets into your pores. It gets into the into you know your clothes. It's just
so done. It's like. It's like the new version of smoking is like a Subway.
Secondhand, yeah. Or second, you get that secondhand bread.
Yeah,
you know,
you got some second. Secondhand Subway.
Yeah.
On you.
It's worse in the city, and they're really dirty in the city. But like when I go to Pennsylvania, you know, you could eat off the floor, and it's like my mom is behind the counter. It's like, hi, hon, what do you want? Everything is so civil and clean. But in the city, you take your life into your own hands when you go into those places. They're just. But I try to ignore it, you know.
I don't know. I lost the taste for Subway at some point, and I never got it back.
Well, did you ever? Do they have Potbellies here in Jersey?
They do.
That's
have
another
a couple.
Subway, but that place is bad. I never got into Quiznos. Never understood it. Never understood how to order there. Very confusing. Was it at your place, Tom?
I was a Quiznos.
I don't know how to order. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is.
After the one hurricane, after Hurricane Sandy, the only thing open in this one like stretch of like 30 miles was this one Quiznos was like open, and the line was out the door, and I was just like. I'm like, I'm going to go to Quiznos and get it. It was like Grapes of Wrath. Everybody's at Quiznos. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. And then there was a guy in front of me who's like ordering his sandwich. And if I remember correctly, he was like, everybody's just like, yeah, this place this is the only place open in for miles. Just order something and be thankful that you got a sandwich and get out. And this guy was acting like it was any other day.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, can I get extra lettuce on that? They're like, well, you know, we're the lettuce. And he's like, hey, there's trees everywhere. All the trees are uprooted because the hurricane came. There's no power anywhere. And you're acting like it's a normal day. It's like you're just at Quiznos. Can you believe the service at this Quiznos? They don't.
That's right.
But, yeah, so you're a Subway man.
Maybe
with this whole Jared thing, you could slide in there as, like, the new guy, right?
I thought about that.
Adam Resnick for Subway.
You know what's interesting? I look a little bit like him, I think. I think there's something, that's what frightens me, just a tiny bit that bothers me. You know, when he lost weight, I thought, well, now he looks a little bit like me, but... Jared, there's that. He's no laughing matter. This, but by the way, did that is that deal done yet? I'm following the latest. I mean,
I tuned out on the whole Jared thing.
Looks like a duck, walks like a duck.
Yeah, but it doesn't bear on the actual sandwiches like that.
No, allegedly, no. I don't. It's he's the furthest thing from my mind. Thank God when I eat the sandwiches. Although I did, I stole from the there was one of those little sort of like pyramid shaped cards that fold under. You know, they later will say something like, you know, get a, you know, 24-ounce Coke with it. Those cardboard things that say. But there was one a couple years ago. It was something, he had some connection to Sharknado, I think the second one. And it was like, you know, it was like, you know, join Jared for the premiere of Sharknado. And I grabbed that and I don't know what happened to it. It's one of those things. I'm too old for crap like this. What am I going to do with it? You know, really? Am I going to really put it somewhere? I don't,
Sharknado.
Yeah, there was a Subway tie-in for Sharknado.
See, I don't get. We were talking about I don't get it. We're going to talk about that throughout.
Yeah,
the show.
I think that's cool. That I like that.
Because like Sharknado, it's like manufactured garbage. Like they're just like, we know this is terrible.
Well, it's trying to be funny, right? Sort of the way I guess like Snakes on a Plane didn't start off trying to be funny. It became a joke, I guess, right? And so I think, it's riffing off of that Snakes.
But it's so.
I've never
artificial
seen it.
In the way that I wouldn't be able to like. Enjoy, like, how you see how bad it was? It's like, yeah, they know it's bad. They actively put Jared from Subway in one of the things. Like, he's acting in it.
Oh, he's in it?
I think he acted in it.
Yeah.
Right? Did you see it, Mike?
No, I haven't seen it, but that sounds...
Oh, Mike is so... That's... He's off the... The
Mike
wheels,
checked
the
out.
Wheels
he's
are...
not listening. I made him hungry for Subway. He's sneaking out.
He's going to go to Subway. You, Mike, Subway?
Blimpies.
Mike's a Blimpies.
Oh, yeah. I used to like Blimpies, but the one that I used to go to, it was on 8th Avenue, was it's really dirty, so I had to stop. But for a while, I enjoyed it.
For a long time, Hoboken had the first Blimpies was in Hoboken, and the sign out front said Blimpies Base 1.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It was like, you know, you come in this Blimpies, this is like the cradle of civilization as far as sandwiches go.
that's where it all, that's where it all, that's the, Darwin was in there. And,
Now, Adam Resnick, you,
mm-hmm.
your book, Will Not Attend, it came out last year in hardcover.
Right.
What if someone is just like not into hardcovers? Like, what are they just out of? Are they just out of luck? Or as Mike would say, SOL.
What's that? That's
it's blank out of luck.
Oh, I get you.
Yes.
No, I think there's still plenty of those around for people that want those. Let's call them collector's items.
Okay.
Joe Franklin, you know, claimed to have invented that phrase. Collector's item. That's the truth. He took claim to that. And I can't, and he might be right. I don't know.
You might as well take credit for something that's unprovable like
that's
that.
That's right. And no one cares about. It's nothing to brag about, really.
Because you told that, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, but good I tried to do the math on that thing. Well, wasn't he doing, he was like the sort of the sandwich boy during the make-believe ballroom, and then he got the job there spinning records, so that would have been around, 49? And then I don't think he would have heard collector's item then. Now let's take it to the 50s. He gets his own little radio show. Maybe, possibly. It's starting to line up, you know, date-wise, the vintage of that term. But
it's a collector's item.
Yeah.
Because he had his...
Everything he had, of course, was a collector's item, so it was part of his...
Well, wasn't his office, like, notoriously, like... Just like headshots everywhere.
Yeah,
I
went in there when I first came to New York. I wanted to go see Joe Franklin just to see what that was like, and I was in there. And
and he's
interesting guy.
He's got headshots of
magicians and you know.
And then it's like then he can say, I had these famous people on, and it's like. Yeah, you had 80 million people. It's just like, at some point, you're going to trip over someone.
Yeah, he always says this. Yeah, it's the first one. And this, I don't know. The Springsteen one, I still think is unprovable, what he used to say. That is, he would always bring up in conversation, I had Bruce Springsteen, I had first, Barbara Streisand, blah, blah, blah. You know, they get big. They don't want to come back. I think that it reminds them of the days when they were struggling. That's why they don't come back. First of all, I'm unsure that I got to see the Springsteen on Joe Franklin show, but he did claim that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Springsteen, like, what did he do?
Mary Queen of Arkansas, probably. Do you remember when Jay Giles did it? You know, they made a whole show around it. It was a big. Do you remember that?
Around Joe being on
well,
Joe
Franklin? No, it was when they were. They'd finally. It was their first number one with a centerfold or whatever the other one for that album. And and they came on this show. They basically they said that you know when Peter Wolf, that your hero, would be like, yeah, Joe, when we were on the road, this is my Peter Wolf. We used to always talk about the day we have a number one. You know, we're going on Joe Franklin, because we used to be up. You know, we'd be at motels late at night and watch your show. And so they sort of took over the whole show. But it was during the week that they were, I guess, in Madison Square Garden. They had a number one record. Everyone wanted Jay Giles on their show, and they said we're only doing Joe Franklin. So they did the entire Joe Franklin show. But it's actually not that funny when you watch the show itself. But it's he had no idea who they were. He just would be tell me again, why'd you pick me? Why are you just doing my show? He'd never heard of them the day before. I think.
Are you making fun of me? Is this?
Yeah, that was always a big thing. Yeah, he didn't like Billy Crystal, your friend Billy Crystal. That was that really funny. Offended him. Anyone that imitated him, he didn't.
How could you not like? Well, I could answered my own question before I started. If you're famous enough, if somebody's doing an impression of you, that's a compliment, I think. Look, I got people. Nobody does impressions of me here, right? You ever hear a good impression of me, Mike? No. I'm going to open the door to that. Anybody ever does an impression of me, I want to hear it.
It would be like someone doing an impression of Rich Little. What would that sound like?
An impression?
Rich Little's regular voice is a little bit... to the, I guess, a little bit off from Johnny Carson is his regular voice. Don't you think that's the Rich Little?
Nah. When he would be, remember when he was on The Late Show?
Yeah, the Late Shift, yeah.
Yeah, The Late Shift. Yeah. It was like, the guy playing Letterman was like with that, he had that orange wig on his head.
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, I think that's, no, that's the guy from The Green Mile, is it or whatever? Okay. No, I know the guy, other guy. That guy's kind of funny. I forget, I've seen him and stuff. Yeah, but he did that, yeah.
And then he was supposedly at his, house, and he's, throwing baseballs.
Yeah, at a giant archery thing. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yee-hee!
Yeah, and that's the scene I think he also had, on, a shirt like yours. What's that called? Or those are polo shirts, I guess.
Polo shirt
with a V-neck, sweater over that. But it was no arms on it or something. It was just crazy looking.
But then he called Letterman. He was just like, he called Carson, and he's like, well, what should I do? I really want The Tonight Show. And then Rich Little played Johnny Carson in this TV movie about the whole Leno-Letterman fight. He's like, I would say, he was just like, he was like Rich Little in full, he kind of lost the compass for his Johnny Carson impression at that point.
Well, don't you think it was a fascinating choice? Because that was Betty Thomas, I think, who directed that.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure there's a lot of discussion about it, and they thought, he can do the voice without a doubt. The thing is, he can't act, so he's trying. His performance is him trying to push down that Vegas-y Johnny Carson thing that he does. Yeah. I would love to hear her directing him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the meaning of bringing it down. Just trying to say, just play it real, just like your Johnny Carson, having a normal conversation. Yeah. I can't do it.
He just can't not be huge. I would say, it's just what should I do, Johnny? I don't know what to do. I would say, we can't understand what you're saying. I would say, take the leave. I think he's doing his John Wayne. I think it slid into his. You're doing your John Wayne now, Rich. Now, Adam Resnick, your book, the hardcover book of Will Not Attend. Yeah. There is a paperback, though.
Is it out? It came out today.
Today?
Yeah.
The paperback for Will Not Attend. One of the funniest books, if not the funniest book, I've ever read.
You're so sweet.
So many great stories. I'm telling you, you read this thing and you just laugh and laugh and laugh. It's a classic. It's a classic book. Classic, and I cannot give it a higher recommendation than to say, everybody hearing this, if you like this show, you will love this book. If you hate this show, you will love this book. And it's so good, and it's all these stories from your life. And when you went and wrote this book, these were all stories. Did you know these stories would make a good book throughout your life? Or was there just a point where you were like, okay, I'm going to write a book. What stories should be in the book?
Yeah, it sort of came. There's that, the The obvious ones I sort of scribbled down right away, just the ideas, the stories I knew I were going to tell. And then the other, it came pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And then there's even some other ones beyond that that I didn't put in the book because I thought it had already had the right amount. And I wanted to get out early. As they
yeah,
say.
Well, it's great. The story about the piano is so funny. Booker. And these stories, these are not you're not going to suddenly, there's not going to be like a Booker sitcom.
No, but that it's interesting because, when the book came out, there was a television, there were some people who were interested. I don't want to say anything, but I never wanted, that was one thing about, when I wrote it, the great feeling was that it didn't have to be anything else. And I wouldn't, I just wouldn't do that. If it was going to, it would have to be the greatest thing in the world, the greatest people directing it, the greatest people cast everything that would, and that ain't going to happen. So it doesn't have to be. I like it just being a book. It doesn't have to be anything else. Why does everything have to be, a
gateway? Exactly. Right? Like as if that's the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Is turning your thing into a TV show. No, it's great. It's such a funny book. Everybody that's should nice read. Will not attend.
Thanks, Tom.
We were talking about wrestlers earlier.
Let's go, man.
Because you grew up in
Harrisburg, and we used to go to the Zembo Mosque and see the WWF in those days.
So, who did you see as a kid?
Well, of course, Andre was always there. Gorilla Monsoon, Tiger Chung Lee, and George Animal Steel.
This is you and your brothers.
Yeah. My younger brothers were really into it. They were obsessed. And it was, that's when it was a different, that's when there was like always like this old coot in the front row that kind of believed it, and, by the way, I'm not saying this to be funny. I'm just adding the color, but this old coot happened to be a Holocaust survivor, had like a, he could still laugh a little, but it was just added to the flavor of the what he was. And I forget what he was like. Oh man, Mr. Goldstein's going nuts. He's wiping the salt off the red that Tiger Chung Lee put down to blind the guy. He would then Mr. Goldstein would run up and rub the salt off the ring and you'll stop doing. You don't put the salt in to put in his eye. And it was
and it's just like
it was.
Hey, we're doing a show here.
They were doing a show at the Zembo. It was my younger brothers. I don't know. They were probably when they were around 15. They'd be so excited. They'd sneak my mother's car out just to go. They'd skip school that day and go hang out at the Zembo by 10 or 11 just to watch them, unload the ring. And then they would go find the wrestlers at the couple of motels they knew they stayed at. So they would go bother Sergeant Slaughter. They paint this funny picture. Sergeant Slaughter, it was a sunny day, was sitting outside on a little, lawn chair. And there's a little table there, and he was paying his bills, writing his checks out. And then they would follow them to this restaurant on Route 22 called Acre's, and that was the place the wrestlers always went after the matches. Till my brothers found out, and all their friends and my brothers would try to just drive these guys nuts and sit down with them at the table, and they'd be hey Sarge, can I have your bread? And he blew up them. Take the bread, take my meal, take my drink, take everything, just take it all. How do you like that? Just take it all. Drove these guys nuts.
It's just these kids
who
cracked the code for where when these guys are in Harrisburg.
They knew every move. I remember being with them in the car. My one brother was their twins was behind the wheel, and they chased down, and one goes after the match, and it was Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine. I forget, and it was this classic thing. And someone else, the good guy and the bad guy, was in the same car. They're going. This is when they drove on to the next town. This is when it was really tough miles they put on, between towns,
they would just be
followed them like crazy. And they finally pulled over in a gas station, and Valentine got out, and he just had his little short shorts and on, and some flip flops, and came and uttered some threats I think I said to Roddy, I yelled through the windows, "You're the best, you're the greatest actor in the world, And then he yelled out the advice. He goes, "Stay in school so you don't have to wrestle for a living." That's what he said.
And these guys are just like, "This is
Because when they're doing Harrisburg, that's what you would call like a tertiary market.
Well, actually, that was a big one because we were close. We didn't realize. My brothers are like upset now as they're older. They realize that the main place they used to shoot from in the 70s was this place called the Hamburg Fieldhouse, mm-hmm. which we realized was only about a half an hour from Harrisburg. And they're like, I can't believe Dad never took us. You know, it was in Hamburg. We didn't realize that Hamburg was just like half an hour away. But that was where that was where they taped almost everything, and where
okay.
Vince or Junior, as he was called then,
mm-hmm.
You know, would also do the color for the matches.
And then, just at a point, wrestling, you just realize it's like, yeah, it's just like I can't.
When everyone else started to find it funny and it became uh-huh. kitsch, then it uh-huh. wasn't as much fun. Although some of those guys were still, you know, around WrestleMania is when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was.
But now when you see like a WrestleMania thing and you see like Ariana Huffington is there
yeah.
and like Bill Simmons and all these people are like there, like it's like.
Yeah.
It's like the hoi polloi.
The hoi polloi, yeah. Well, that was the first one too. It was like Liberace was the bell ringer, which was fun. I thought that was pretty
that,
funny.
No, that is.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Adam Resnick, you worked on Letterman, speaking of which, we were talking about Letterman. You worked, when did you start? On the late night.
Like 84. Late 84, I think it was.
Which is like 2 years in at that point.
About
like
that,
the,
yeah.
Right? The show's like...
Yeah.
And you were just like fresh out of...
I was still in college. I got there as an intern. I got there as an intern. Then I dropped out because it was looking good that I would get hired. So
okay.
Yeah.
So you dropped out of school
yeah.
to get the job because you were working as an intern.
Yeah.
And then you start writing your start pitching things.
Yeah, at the time, you know, it was a small shop then. It was like a nice little clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And Chris Elliott became a writer by, those are the days that, you know, you put some jokes on Dave's assistant's desk and mm-hmm. he'd read them. And you know, if he liked them, you know, maybe you'd hear from him. And Chris and Steve O'Donnell both encouraged me to do that. And so I'd start writing opening remarks and I'd hand them to the mm-hmm. assistant. And then he called me in one day and said, all right, you're good. I don't want to write some more. And I just walked out thinking, mm-hmm. oh, man, that's good. Well, that actually was a huge turning point in my life, that exact moment. It was like something is going to change for me.
Yeah.
Because I went in thinking, you know, it wasn't expected that I would be a writer, but I went in thinking, if I have to be here until I'm 30, mm-hmm. I will be an intern until I'm 30 if it means that I'll eventually be a writer for the show. But I just knew. It was the right place for me. It was the only place for me, actually.
And then when you first saw it, were you just like, this is... Did you watch the morning show?
No, I actually didn't. I remember my mom mentioning to me one time, I was probably walking out the door, I think I was, sometime, whenever that, when was that, like 1980 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you know, you don't watch, it's this David Letterman, he's really funny. And mm-hmm. I didn't know, I'd never heard the name before, and I was thinking, you know, there's that singing group, the Lettermans, or just like some lame show like Dinosaur. So she's like, you uh-huh. should watch that David Letterman, he's funny. Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, okay, Mom, right, okay, see you later, enjoy that. Uh-huh. I had no idea, so I didn't see it. I've seen it, you know, since then, I've seen parts of it, like the Andy Kaufman stuff.
Yeah, it was nuts.
But the other one I watched from the first night, because I watched Tom Snyder every night, so I was there, mm-hmm. you know, from the very first late night I was watching.
It's crazy how, like, it got another chance. Like, he, like, ate it on that,
right.
that show, like a 10 a.m. show or something. And then it's just like, nah, this guy's still good and still there's a home for him somewhere.
Yeah, that was great. After Cabin Boy, after the first, you know, maybe it's the second weekend that mm-hmm. it had been out, I was just so, you know, depressed, upset. You know?
Co-wrote and directed Cabin
and
Boy.
Yeah, okay. So, but it was such, you know, just this awful, awful experience. I've never seen. I mean, you know, Chris and I were, you know, just dragged through the mud worse than anyone. But you know, like what's Sandler's movie now that people are talking about, or you know, that's nothing compared to what you know. If you remember Cabin, what that was like, the reception, if that's what you want to call it. But anyway, so I went up and talked to Dave, and you know, and just was, you know, upset. I don't know mm-hmm. what I'm gonna do. I mean, I'm really scared. I don't think I'm gonna work again or this mm-hmm. and that. He told me, he goes, and he was really nice. He said, look, take the gun away from your head. He goes, I'm telling you, I went through this when I lost the morning show, mm-hmm. and you know, you gotta, and he actually gave me a metaphor about some race car driver that was really doing badly and then suddenly was the top race car driver. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't follow racing, you know, yeah. And that was really nice. But, and it's so, it was so nice of Dave. You made me feel really, really good, but I'll talk myself out of anything. So as I was that, after I was leaving, I was thinking, yeah, that's right. Dave lost the morning show, but then I forgot. But that show was good. It won an Emmy, and I think they gave him like a couple million bucks just to hold him for a year to do nothing. Something. So, all right, not quite the cabin boy.
Yeah,
comparison,
yeah.
But it was because you still got, nice nonetheless.
Yeah, because you really got dragged through the mud on the on that. But now, yeah, look, it's cold comfort, as they say, in some regard. But it's like, now it has found its audience, and now it has found its the level of respect and appreciation that it was due the whole time.
Whatever it is, I'll take it right now. But I do recognize that it's, you know, it's a very small cult of that and it's you know, I can't even get into all the cabin boy stuff. We've been down this road. It's a long story. It was nothing that was something that sort of like fell in our lap. Chris and I, we weren't out to do that project. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very confusing thing. I don't know whether to defend cabin boy. I don't know whether to, you know, just say, you know, I agree. I know it's awful, but I don't think it's awful. I don't think it's great. But I do think the thing I'm at peace with, and I haven't seen it in, mm-hmm. you know, what, 15, 20 years, whatever the hell, but is that it is different. That's all I'll say. There's no kids. There's no 20 somethings in the movie. Just a bunch of old, ugly guys. And Chris and I are proud of that. That's how it was cast. You know, it's like there's no eye candy in that movie.
Yeah, it's not like it's
who would go see that? Think about that.
Yeah, because it's the thing you wanted to see.
Right. I just wanted it to be like character actors. You know, we're thinking of movies like Captain's Courageous. We're like, mm-hmm. well, who's a John Carradine sort of guy? Let's find a guy that looks like a John Carradine.
Yes. Yeah. And now would be
that was like a good reference for executives back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And you couldn't. You'd have to have somebody like when they redid the movie Tron. Like they did the new Tron.
Like that had to be done.
Like they had to have like some like hunky dude in it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't enough to just have, like, Tron in it, right? I remember seeing Tron at this theater near my house. I would ride my bike to go see Tron. Mm-hmm. I saw Tron maybe every night I would just go, like, yeah, 7:30 show, Tron.
Right.
Ride my bike. I'll go see Tron tonight.
Does that stand for something, by the way? Sorry.
Or was that okay. Know. I don't know. It was, and then I saw it like a few years ago, and it was like, this is the worst thing I ever saw in my life. How did I sit through this once?
Well, it was a bomb, right, when it came out? I don't think it was considered. Was it considered good?
I don't think it did amazingly well. I think it did okay.
I never saw the movie. It's not a movie I would have seen, but I did like the video game. Did you play the video game?
I did play the video game, yeah.
That tank part of it was really fun. I wish there was a whole machine of just the tank part of that. There was like four different games in that machine.
There was the light cycles.
Yes, thank you.
Then there's the thing where you're throwing like it's like a version of Hi-Li.
Yeah,
where there's rings that would get knocked, disintegrated.
And some spiders or something coming down.
I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And it'd be this thing where like you watch Tron now and you're like, oh, all they did was just steal everything from Star Wars and just like this is the most shameless. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Funny. I didn't even know that. They said that's what it is. Oh, it's just this, like a, it's well, the timing's right, I guess, for a Star Wars ripoff.
Yeah, it's the worst. I'm going to just. So, all right. Just one second. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Best show, you're on the air.
Really great show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of fun. I'd never heard of Adam Resnick before I discovered his book. And I loved it.
Oh, you loved his book.
Oh, I did love it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's cool to hear an interview with him.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great book.
I love. I'll tell you what. I could have used a whole book of Merv, his dad.
Oh, that's. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. People seem to like Merv.
I love it. I think it's great.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the thing with the frosted mini wheats.
Uh huh.
I love that.
You like that? Yeah,
that was great. Tom, what's your favorite part of the book?
I still feel like for me, nothing beats the Booker story.
That, yeah, I like that too.
That to me, is my all time favorite.
That's Letterman's favorite story too, by the
way.
I like the Frosted Mini Wheats better.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I mean everybody can have a favorite, so.
Oh wow, let me write this down. Yeah. Everybody can have a favorite.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Why don't you write it down?
Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'm doing it right now.
Maybe you should. If you need to point that out from some like point, from some like sarcastic angle, then maybe that's something you need to let sink in a little bit. I didn't mean for it to be a burst of wisdom with you. What?
You just landed yourself in a forest of trouble, son.
I landed myself in a forest of trouble. Why am I in a forest of trouble?
Because this is Raccoon Face.
Shut up. This is Raccoon Face.
Yes, it is.
Uh huh. Well, I just want to tell everybody. I'll tell you, Adam. You're not from my town. For people who don't know, people not from Newbridge. Ever since like the late '60s, there's been this legend of a guy out in the forest of the Newbridge Forest, the Wild Man of Newbridge. And there's all these stories about him. It's like the mythology of the worst. The worst one is that his face is like it was disfigured because there was like he had a fight with like one of the 15-foot long orange bears that roam the forest out in Newbridge. So then he had to suture this giant dead raccoon onto his own face, and that's why he's called Raccoon Face, and that he's like, it's just his myth where he's like, he's supposed to be like, some people call him like a rabid wood nymph, and or like a cannibalistic mutant bloodthirsty Manson-esque sadist who would like beat his victims with a whip made out of the, like, elastic from his underwear. And I've never seen a picture. As far as I know, he's never been photographed, and his existence has never actually been documented. And,
so it's like an urban legend? Or?
Yeah, I think it's like a giant myth. And, you know, that said, it's, I mean, I guess I can talk about this, you know, as a kid, I was camping in the forest, Newbridge Forest. I was probably 15 at the time, and it would have been me and my mime troupe, who I was with, the Little Silent Stinkers, and we went on a camping trip. And I woke up early one morning because I had to go to the, you know, number one. And so I walked like about 50 feet from the campsite, and then I just felt like it was weird. It did feel like someone or like something was like watching me in the, you know, in the woods. And I was trying to just do my, you know what, and I couldn't, and I started to get scared, and I could hear branches and twigs snapping, and then I just remember a smell. It was like, I guess the only way I could describe it would be, like a cross between like a, this is going to sound like I'm, this is hard to describe, I guess like halfway between like a burnt helicopter and like a pile of like wet tractor tires that would have been like stewing for days in a vat full of like yoga mats, like fetid yoga mats. And then, I mean, I just remember just being terrified. And I could just feel this thing getting closer to me. And then I kind of realized there was no way I was going to be able to, you know, do what I had to do there. You know, my, I guess for lack of a better term, my business. And so then I, you know, zip up my jean shorts and, you know, look over my shoulder. And there's this giant, like a humanoid, I guess I'd call, like a giant humanoid, like in tattered clothing, just kind of like running off. And I was back into like away from me. And I was so scared. I just ran home. I didn't even go back to the campsite. I just ran home, and that was like 15 miles away. And, you know, it really did shake me up that I've never talked about it before. And, you know, to make matters worse, you know, when I got home, I realized I dropped in back at the site where all this happened. I dropped my most valuable, like my most prized possession, which was a...
the ultra-rare, never-ready misprint wacky packages card.
Wait, what's that?
Yeah, it was spelled R-E-D-D-I-E, right?
For never... for the never-ready battery.
Yep, there were only 5 known to be in circulation, right?
But how did you know that that's what it was?
Because I was there.
Oh, no one's... I've never told this story in my entire life to anyone.
I know.
Oh, my God. Wait, okay. If you're really... If this is really raccoon face... I mean, I know what you were wearing that day.
Right.
And, I mean, if you can tell me... what it was, if you were wearing, like, it was like I'm just trying to think how to, I'm going to describe it, and you tell me.
I'll tell you what you were wearing. How about that?
You'll tell me what I was wearing.
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember what, I remember what I was wearing.
Okay.
I remember what you were wearing.
I remember what you were wearing.
Well, I remember what you were wearing, too. And I'm not going to tell you what I was wearing.
I'll tell you what you were wearing.
You're going to tell me.
The aforementioned jean shorts.
Uh-huh.
A rat concert shirt.
Uh-huh.
A yellow bandana around your neck. And white, puffy, high-top sneakers. And you also had a red visor that said, "I'm a little silent stinker."
That is creeping me out. That you are, this is raccoon face.
That's right,
oh,
son.
Oh, my God. And what you were wearing, like a hoodie.
That's correct.
Yeah. I just wanted to get what we were wearing out of the way there, what we were both wearing. I can't believe this is raccoon face. This is like, you're like larger than life. It's like the Loch Ness Monster or like Bigfoot.
Oh, well, that's not at all insulting.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'd be, you know, it's like, for lack of a better word, you know, you're like a creature that like nobody was sure whether you even existed or not. And, I mean, I was not prepared to ever talk to Raccoon Face, but can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You know, I can, so.
Oh, hey, hang on.
What?
Show me some respect, okay? Call me Mr. Face.
Well, I called you Raccoon Face. That's your.
No, call me Mr. Face.
Okay, Mr. Face. So, Raccoon is your first name?
No, you shut up.
Okay.
All right, and this is exactly why I'm calling in here, because there's all kinds of misconceptions about me, all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, uh-huh. There's been a lot of crazy, hurtful, disturbing things said about me over the last 40 years, uh-huh. And I want to set the record straight tonight.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yes. want.
Okay.
So well, fire away.
Sure. Okay. Well, the first question I would ask is, like, how did you end up in Newbridge Forest, which, I mean, however many years ago, what led up to you ending up there?
Well, it's quite a story, son. You see, back in the summer of 69, I was a senior at Newbridge High School for the lesser motivated.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you know it, but that was a very turbulent time in our town's history. Mm-hmm. Mayor Kern had everyone on pens and needles thinking that the Apollo astronauts had brought moon rickets back to Earth and that we were all going to die unless we took Kern moon ricket serum. Combine that with Officer Harrop Sr. initiating martial law after he saw the association perform on Ed Sullivan. Yeah, and you can see how the city was a powder keg waiting to explode.
Yeah, well, I mean, the association on Ed Sullivan was like a big...
He was scared.
He was scared. Officer Harrop Sr. was scared.
He was. He thought it was Along Comes Machete.
The song Along Came Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought there was, it was like a hyper-violent
he
song.
He did, yeah. Oh, yeah, and he uh-huh. thought it was, everyone knows it's Howitzer.
Well, no, that's, it's Windy, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, but not Howitzer.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I don't know.
So
he was hard of hearing. But anyways, you know, that was the climate at that point. And, you know, it was very difficult, but me and three of my best buddies, Mickey Monroe, Dave Ploppleton, and Montgomery Davies Jr., we snuck out of town and we headed up straight to Bethel, New York for the big Woodstock Festival.
For the Woodstock? Wow, so you went to Woodstock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. Until
what?
Well, you know, security was very lax back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we snuck backstage, and on the second night, well, I was flipping on doses.
Uh-huh.
Well, but don't judge me, because back then everybody was flipping on doses.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnson was flipping on doses half the time.
Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Johnson, like...
Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson, like President Johnson, LBJ.
Yes, yeah.
He was just regularly...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, you know, that footage where he says, I will not accept the nomination, you know, of my mm-hmm. party to run for president?
Yes.
You know why he did that?
Why?
Because he wanted to dose more.
So it was getting in the way of his...
His dosing.
His dosing, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anywho, yeah. I get up on stage with CCR.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing Keep on Shuglin'.
Yeah.
And I was really connecting with the music.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really feeling Doug's backbeat.
Okay.
And they started doing this extended outro, and I was just riding that wave of Louisiana swamp mojo that only a band from the Bay Area can deliver.
Yeah.
And I started shoogling my way towards the middle of the stage.
Okay.
And I was completely lost in the shoogle.
Yeah.
And then I started shoogling my clothes off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all of them.
Uh-huh.
And all the while, you know, I'm doing that, I'm really shoogling my buns off.
Uh-huh. I got to say, I don't like where this is going.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said buns.
No, that's not what I meant. It's okay, you can say buns.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I also say mother... Liquor?
No, I bleeped all of that. You can't say any of that. Why would you do that?
Hey, you don't yell at Raccoon Face. It yells at you.
It yell. Okay, I've never heard that version of that, but all right.
There's a lot of versions you haven't heard.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Face. I can't believe I'm calling
you that.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing it, but
all right. Anyway, so I started shoogling something else.
Ugh. Please don't tell me what...
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was shoogling my forest bathroom area.
Oh.
Real hard. Real frantic.
Ugh, I hate your... I'm not even going to say it. It's bad enough it got said once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this at all, Mr. Fizz.
Well, look, so anyway, I look up and CCR are still on stage, but they stopped playing. It's total silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stu, Doug, John, and Ned are staring at me with these looks of shock on their faces.
Uh-huh. Well, two things come to mind here with that.
Okay.
I guess A would be that that's maybe the most repulsive thing I've ever heard, that you were chugling on stage to the point where the band was done. And the other thing, point, is you said it was Ned. There's no Ned. It was Tom, not Ned.
I never called you Ned.
No, I meant that there's no Ned in... It was Tom Fogerty. There was no Ned in Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, you know, you're really starting to raise the hackles on my haunches, son.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know what to tell you, Mr. Face. And
I don't know either.
Yeah, well, I don't know why I can't just call you Raccoon Face. It's the
because
name...
I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from you.
All right.
So anyway, flash forward to Monday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the way back to Newbridge, the guys tell me that my chugling is going to be the hit of the movie that they're making of Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
Like a documentary.
Yeah.
So I get really scared because they keep telling me how when the movie comes out, I'm going to be super famous. And they start making up all these names that people are going to start calling me once the movie comes out.
Once the movie comes out and everybody sees you on
yeah.
the movie screen.
Yeah, they start calling me names like Penis Whitewater, Revival,
mm-hmm.
Woodcock,
mm-hmm.
Canned Meat. Who's that playing with their Whipple on stage at Woodstock?
That one's a bit of a stretch.
Tim Hardon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tim.
Ravi Wankar.
Okay. Any others?
Couple more.
Uh-huh.
Not So Sly and the Family Bone.
I don't get that one.
Well.
Oh, I get it now. Okay, that's Sly and the Family. Oh, the Family. Never mind. Okay. Go ahead.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix.
Yep.
Not Hendrix, okay.
No, yeah. Uh-huh. So by the time we make it back to Newbridge, I was just uh-huh. beside myself with worry.
By the time we made it back to Newbridge.
I don't get it.
Well, it's a different... It's a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. Never mind.
Mm.
So you go back to Newbridge, and you're now what? You're terrified of this
I'm
all
terrified,
happening.
I'm terrified, yeah. My life is over. So when we stop to get gas at the Lubin Gulp,
uh-huh.
just outside of Newbridge,
yeah.
I catch a glimpse of the cover of the Newbridge Republican Times Herald Democrat.
Uh-huh. And what was on the cover?
A huge picture of me on stage at Woodstock, chugling my dink.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a headline over it that reads... Local perv goes on dungaree rummage on world stage. Bring shame to Newbridge. Must be killed.
Wow, that's a pretty brutal headline.
It was. It even printed my address, 325 North Pancake Boulevard.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. So I knew right then and there that I could never go home again. You know, I knew I couldn't face my family or my friends ever. So I snuck off and I made my way into Newbridge Forest.
Wow. You've been there ever since?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is... Wow. Well, Mr. Face, I guess, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
How do you survive out there in the forest? I mean, like, because next to the deepest parts of the Amazon, Newbridge Forest is pretty much known as the most inhospitable place on Earth.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the other day, I was almost trampled by a massive quad-footed doodle boop.
By a what?
A quad-footed doodle boop?
What is that?
You're kidding.
No, I don't know what that is.
But I'm sorry. You know, I've been in here so long with such limited contact with the outside world
uh-huh.
that I forget that only 20% of Newbridge Forest has ever been explored.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these animals, bugs, birds, and creatures here that the scientists don't know about. And, you know, the massive quad-footed doodle boop is just one of them. It's kind of like a cross between a mid-sized elephant and a hummingbird, but with a tiny ferret head.
Huh. Wow. That sounds that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
To picture. Is that the only, what you said, there's other ones that people don't know? Like, what are some other creatures that people outside of Newbridge Forest wouldn't know about?
Well, there's like rabid tree blobs, land gnomes, 14-foot crickets, thrush monsters, giant lightning bugs, giant thunder bugs, Tom Tricoli's dogs, a lot of stuff like that, crazy things.
Wow. And what do you do for shelter out there?
Well, for years I lived in a World War II Japanese warplane.
Wait, there's a Japanese warplane in Newbridge Forest?
Oh, yes, yeah, several of them. I guess they were flying to New York to drop bombs until the giant Shih Tzu batted them away.
Wait, the what? The giant Shih Tzu?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah. I guess it must have gotten loose from its owner, back in the 40s or something, and it ran into the forest, and it probably fell into one of the forest's many radioactive ponds. Mm-hmm. And then it became the size of a skyscraper, and it must have thought that the planes were these fun doggy toys.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. There's all kinds of radioactive mutants roaming around here.
Okay.
The most heinous one I could probably describe best is a giant half-animal part party machine hybrid.
Huh. I mean, that's insane. I don't think anyone, like, in the outside world knows about any of this.
No. A lot of weird stuff going on here. Weird, wild stuff.
Weird,
wild stuff. You know who that is?
That's Johnny Carson.
It is, yeah. He's still on, right?
What's that?
He's still on TV, right?
Still, Johnny Carson, no. He died probably about 10 years ago at this point.
Oh, no!
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happened, yeah.
Well, who took over his show? Ed McMahon?
No, Ed McMahon is dead also.
No,
he didn't take it. It was Jay Leno took it over.
Oh, I love him.
You like him?
He's great.
Well, he's a little different than you might remember if you still think Carson's on the air. The Jay Leno you're in your mind is different from the one that the rest of us.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. But look, anyway, to further answer your question, when the Japanese warplane fell apart, I ended up moving into one of the crashed alien spacecrafts.
So there's not only Japanese warplanes, there's an alien, a crashed alien spacecraft out in the Newbridge Forest.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't know where that came from, but
I don't know. I just made that up. There's actually several of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess the occupants must have beamed out before the ships crashed.
Mm-hmm.
They left behind all this cool stuff like weapons and cutlery and magazines. They have magazines in space. I didn't know that.
That wouldn't – it would – magazine. You'd think that of all the things to get – like we are evolving past magazines out here in the – and but aliens who are traveling through from planet to planet or galaxy to galaxy, they're still reading magazines.
They are, yeah. My favorite is Space Fun.
Space Fun magazine.
Yep.
So that's one of the magazines on the ship?
Yeah, there's also one called Space. Oh, did you bleep me?
I did bleep you on that. Even though it's an alien thing, you can't say that.
Yeah, they love that stuff up there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is.
They go on spacesuit rummages.
Well, that's weird that that's the most shocking part of an alien, me finding out about the existence of aliens is me within 45 seconds being repulsed by their choice of magazines.
Hey, they have needs. But speaking of spacesuits, they were too small for me to fit in, so that's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, which actually leads to a question. When I saw you, you were wearing this hoodie that was kind of ripped up. Like, really, like you were just in tattered, like wild person clothes when I saw you way back when I was out there camping. And, I mean, that was so long ago at this point. And, I mean, what are you, there's no way you could still be wearing those, that tattered hoodie. What are you wearing now?
Well, the clothes I wore to Woodstock, you know, of course, they slowly began to disintegrate. And by the early 90s, I was down to a loincloth made out of my striped Bandlon shirt.
Uh-huh.
It was sick. I don't know if you've ever worn a loincloth, but they're not fun. They look cool.
Uh-huh.
But they're not fun. There's a lot of what I call crevice creeping. I hope that's not too much. That's not
sick
to say.
It's a little... It's a little... It's not my favorite. How about that?
Sure, sure, sure. But luckily, I found some, I think you call them hammer pants, that were left behind when a rap group from Newbridge was shooting a video here.
Hammer pants. Wait, how do you know about things like videos and rap and all the things we talked about at the beginning here, like, you know, Adam Resnick's book and everything, if you've had no contact with the outside world for all those years?
Oh, you'd be surprised what hikers leave behind at campsites. I find magazines, books, like Adam's, music players with tapes and compact discs that are still in them.
Uh-huh. Well, compact, okay. Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, have you heard of this singer named Tom Waits?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge Tom Waits fan.
Wait, what?
What?
He's like a hobo singing.
Yeah,
he sings the hobo's music.
Well, it's like hobo's music, but it's not. It's like a very high, imagine like a high class Los Angeles hobo, like a guy with so much money that he can start dressing like he's got no money.
Oh well,
it's not my thing.
Okay, all right. Well, what about Billy Joel? The tape I have is called Glass Houses, and is this what punk rock is?
No. Billy Joel is definitely not punk rock.
Oh, I just assume because the music is so aggressive and he sings with such anger.
Uh-huh.
He's throwing out like a rock at a window on the cover, and he wears a leather jacket like Brando.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't. No, it's really a pretty affected thing for who Billy Joel is. It's not very, very representative, and no, punk is different than that.
Okay, well, I also found this compact disc that I assume is used as some kind of torture device to get information out of prisoners.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Hang on, let me find it real quick. It's called Public Animal Number 1, and it's by Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies.
Yeah, no, that's a real artist. That's not a torture device. Gigi Allen is a real recording artist, and he actually died about 20 years ago.
Oh, he passed on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did pass on. Mm. Uh-huh.
Hey, look, I want to correct you on something that you said. You said that I don't have much contact with the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been out a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been out of Newbridge Forest. Like, when?
I did a Bob's Burgers last year.
Wait, what is... Wait, you did a Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it's a cartoon show.
Uh-huh. No, I know. I'm fully aware of what Bob's Burgers is.
Oh.
Yeah. But you did, when you say you did one, what does that mean?
I did a voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But,
have you done one?
No, I haven't, actually. Have not been asked to do a Bob's Burgers. It's funny, huh? I guess some
they
people...
They must have a reason.
Well,
I don't know.
Some people do four voices on it. That's fun. That's funny. And
really?
I'm still at zero. You've done one voice on it, which is...
I've done one, yeah. Do you know anyone else who's done them?
Oh, sure. Plenty of people. I would probably pretty much at this point name who hasn't done one, and it's a shorter list with one name on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, me. Hmm. And, okay. I'm gonna stop with that whole thing.
Okay.
What, Mr. Face?
Yes.
What do you do for food out there in the woods?
Oh, you know, I forage around. You know, I get nuts and I get berries, that kind of stuff. Sometimes people leave food for me, too.
Wait. They leave food for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
give me an example. There's this guy named Bryce who leaves sandwiches and then these other fun things for me. I don't need to get into what those fun things are, though, do I?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think we need to get into that.
Right.
There's already been enough talk of that right. stuff.
Well, there's this other guy named Mike who leaves beer for me and Grateful Dead tapes and Grateful Dead updates. That uh-huh. stuff.
And yeah. updates.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess they played their last shows recently.
Yeah, they did these shows with the guy from Fish taking over for the late, great Jerry Garcia.
Wait, what's his name? Abe Vigoda?
Not Fish, the TV show.
Oh.
The guy from the band Fish.
Oh, I was asking because I one of my few reading things I have is a TV guide from 1979.
Mm-hmm. So you just read about shows?
Yeah, I kind of make them up in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're just making up episodes of Fish?
Yeah, yeah. In my mind, he goes back in time to the 1910s. Okay. Is it called the 10s?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and he goes on the Titanic.
Fish goes on the Titanic.
Yeah, and then he dies on it and then becomes a ghost fish. He was also a detective of the deep. It's called Fish, colon, Detective of the Deep.
So it's the police officer Fish, played by Abe Vigoda.
That's correct.
Who passes away, who time travels.
A, yes.
And I'm not here to poke holes in your thing, but he's from.
Well, maybe I'd like that.
He's from the 70s. So why would he go on the Titanic if he's from the 1970s? He clearly must have heard what's going to happen to him on the Titanic.
Well, we all have blind spots. Maybe that's his.
Like he just never checked out any news. Like he just went back and then decided, oh, here's a cruise.
Maybe every time in his life when someone was about to inform him mm-hmm. of the Titanic's fate, he looked away or got distracted by something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's
plausible.
It's very, you know what? Fair enough. I thought I had poked a hole in your, I'm sorry I said that because now it's going to set you off on some flight of fancy.
I wonder if I could write a movie called Titanic Distractions.
Titanic distraction, so that yes. he gets distracted right before somebody talks about the Titanic for his entire life.
Yes.
And then he goes back in time, and then suddenly the first thing he does is decide to go on an old-fashioned cruise.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I guess it's all possible. Man. Well, Mr. Face.
You can call me Raccoon Face now.
Okay, Raccoon Face. I got to say, this was as unexpected as anything that's ever happened on this show. And this is definitely one of the most surprising phone calls I've ever gotten on The Best Show. And, you know, you have, to be fair, there's been so much legend about you. And you have really corrected all the misconceptions about you that people have had and misconceptions that I've had about you.
Well, thank you, son. You know, it hurts to be judged so unfairly and to be seen as some kind of a monster or a disfigured troglodytic nightmare, a raccoon-faced freak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I thought the raccoon sewing thing was made up, but...
So, no, that's real.
Oh, so it is, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't do it because I got mauled by one of those big orange bears.
Uh-huh. Well, how did you damage your face then?
I was on Wild Strange Shrooms.
What was that?
I was on Wild Shrooms pretending to be Bill Wyman, and I fell off a cliff and landed on my face.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Well, look, so I get knowing your history, the whole thing about being on... Shrooms, yeah. But I'm not sure why anyone would pretend to be Bill Wyman. You know, I mean, when the Rolling Stones, he just stood there.
He just stood there. He's not in the Stones anymore?
No. Bill Wyman left the Rolling Stones. That's early 90s, probably.
Oh, no! They're doomed! Doomed to play tiny clubs if, in fact, they ever dare tour it at all! Which I know is an absolute impossibility. They'll never go without Bill.
Yeah, well, Raccoon Face, I'm sorry to give you this news flash here, but they currently actually are on a tour of stadiums right now, the Rolling Stones, like at this very moment.
There's no way. There's no way that the Stones could possibly exist without Dr. Stoic, the bass surgeon.
Wait, what?
You never heard him called that?
Dr. Stoic, the bass surgeon?
No, Dr. Stoic, comma, the bass surgeon.
Okay, but you didn't say the comma when you said it.
Well, it's implied.
Okay.
You dipple dip.
Okay, well, look. I'm sorry you just found out about Bill Wyman. Let me just get this whole thing back on target a little bit.
Okay.
If I can. It's, I gotta say, it's great to know that, ultimately you're a pretty normal guy who, you know, even though there's been a ton of bizarre circumstances that, you know, put you on this path and that, you know, nobody has ever taken, that you've made it and you've survived. I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, son. And I appreciate you taking the time to understand me,
You know. And because there's so many legends and so much stuff and, you know, it's good to know you know, look, we're all a little goofy in our own way, myself included. And,
yeah,
but okay. You're not supposed to take that kind of,
oh, well,
but you're a regular guy, really. You know, there's all these legends that, like, you're not any of the monsters. Like the Zodiac Hugger or like the Newbridge Mystery Ape or the Newbridge Mauler or the Dumpster Peeper or the Wayne Coyne of the Wilderness or the Newbridge Exsanguinator. Like,
oh no, I'm all those guys.
What's that?
I'm all of those guys. All the people you mentioned, they're all me.
Really?
Yes.
So the Newbridge Exsanguinator.
Yup.
Well, if you're the Newbridge Exsanguinator, can you prove it?
Well, on March 4th, 2003, I... without spilling one drop of blood.
Oh, my God. I just bleeped a lot of that out, but you are the Newbridge Exsanguinator.
Yeah.
Cool. So you are you're a terrible person after all. I don't want anything to do with you, Raccoon Face. You know. Let me just ask you one other question though before I say goodnight.
Yes.
How are you even calling the show?
Oh, Chapo lent me his cell phone.
Who?
My new amigo, El Chapo.
El Chapo, the head of the Sinaloa cartel?
Oh, yeah.
Who he escaped from prison a few weeks ago?
See, he's here with me right now.
So El Chapo's hiding in Newbridge Forest with you right now?
No. He's with me hiding in the closet right behind you.
Wait, no. You're not. You're in the studio closet.
Yes. Get ready to meet Raccoon Face and my little amigo. Well, didn't you fill it up before we left the forest? Oh, you El Dippo. Look, I'll tell you, this half-ass guano might fly down in Mexico, but it sure don't fly up here, my man. Ow! Ouch! Ouch! Oh! You dropped the chainsaw on my foot! Oh!
Mike?
Oh!
Oh. Mike.
Foot is swelling, you dip!
I'm gonna keep him going.
Oh! Oh.
Just slide that chair under the closet doorknob.
Oh! Oh!
Hey, raccoon face?
Oh, what?
What's going on now?
Oh, I yanked my back!
Uh-huh.
Oh, my raccoon face is coming loose.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay. Good job. Mike just put a chair up.
Oh, man. It's hard to even stand up. Oh, what's that?
Nothing.
Oh, El Chapo forgot that he has a knife. Look out, Tom, because that CB radio station is about to get turned into a bloody car wash. What the? This door won't open.
Oh yeah, we put a chair up against it. It's not going to open. You're stuck.
That's not a real thing, is it?
It's working right now. Yeah.
No, I mean, I know it works in movies, like when Peter Benchley does that to the shark in Jaws after Fred Schneider says their boat needs to be way bigger. I didn't think it worked in real life.
Yeah, well, it does. And just so you know, I just called the Heinous Creeps Division of the Newbridge Police Department, and they're going to be here any second.
Oh, come on. Please let us out.
No.
We won't be bad, please.
We won't be bad.
Please.
No, no way.
Please, we're knocking nicely.
No, I'm not letting you out. I don't care how much you ask nicely. You're bad guys.
Oh, come on.
No.
Oh, it's working again. Oh, you're going to get it now. Death to CB radio tyrants. Oh, no. And died again. This is very frustrating, I got to say. Well, amigo, looks like it's the end of the line for us. Wonder what they're serving for dinner in El Hut tonight.
What was that?
Okay. Yeah. This chainsaw has dos hornos.
This chainsaw has two horns.
See?
Yeah.
Well, talk to you later, I guess.
Well, you're
going to settle back here, all right?
Yeah, get comfortable.
All right.
What? Well, you just... Raccoon face?
Thanks a lot.
Well, you're the...
El Dip Munch.
Okay, and he hung up. Oh, my God. He's in the closet. The two of them are in there, Mike. With a chainsaw that doesn't have any gas in it, apparently.
Wow.
How about that? Don't open that closet.
Fuse on that guy. Just hung up on you.
Yeah. Don't open the closet, Adam.
Yeah. So I'm confused. Did he find my book in the woods or not?
He did.
He did.
Yeah. Look, however it...
Yeah.
However you get to it, you get to it. You know what I mean? You know? Hey, Mike. Who's good here? One? Are there people talking about I don't get it? The topic being I don't get it, where it's the things you tried and you don't get. Do you have anything like that, Andy?
Andy.
I'm sorry, I'm seeing Andy Kindler is he's mad at Raccoon Face on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, do you know Andy Kindler?
No.
He's very funny. I love, he's going to, that's going to make his night that you just went, no.
I know the name. No.
He's a stand-up. He's very funny.
Oh, you know, actually, I know the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Resnick, you think about one that is something you can't just get it. You've tried to get into it. You can't get into it.
All right. I don't want to start anything.
Well, let's see what this person has to say.
Oh, yes, here we go.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Adam from Tampa.
What's up, Adam?
Well, I had one for the topic, and you guys were also talking about wrestling earlier.
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking about the day I gave up on wrestling.
Okay. What is the day you gave up on wrestling?
It was about 92, I'm going to say. I was watching Earthquake and Jake the Snake.
Okay.
And they were, you know, they were in a heated rivalry at that point. And Earthquake pulls Damien, you know, out from under the ring, you know, Jake's snake, and jumps up and down on Damien. And then the bag is opened, and you see very obvious ground beef coming out of the bag, raw ground beef.
Uh-huh.
Me and my dad are watching wrestling. I look at my dad, and he says, "I've been telling you for years." Broke my heart.
So the ground beef was what, to feed the...
No, that was supposed to be the snake.
Oh my God.
The smashed snake. They used ground beef in place of what a smashed up snake would actually look like.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It was so dumb I couldn't follow it. You ever have that happen where you're watching something, watching like a movie, and you're just like... Or somebody tells a joke. You ever read like a Bazooka Joe comic?
And
it's so dumb.
You're getting eye strain trying to read every word.
And you're like, maybe this is going over my head because there's no way that the joke could be this simple and stupid. So that's what it was. Ground beef in a thing.
And then, you know, of course they have the news. They had Mean Gene reporting about it in the next week's thing, and he talks about it just being too savage to watch. And I mean, Mean Gene's known for overdoing it, but this was overdoing it even by Mean Gene's standards.
Mean Gene, he always talking about the Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah, that's right, the Pontiac.
This week at the Pontiac Silverdome, Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. Right? And then you'd just be like, where's the Pontiac Silverdome? Was that, like, outside of Detroit, I guess?
Yeah.
Ground
beef. Yeah, like Auburn Hills.
You're bumming me out. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Paul from Queens.
Paul from Queens. What's going on? Do you have something for the topic?
I do.
What do you got?
I do. My entry is OK Computer.
You can't understand the Radiohead album, OK Computer.
Well, I don't know. I think I understand it. I just don't feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't feel it. You try to listen to it. You try.
I bought it.
You bought some music.
Yeah.
Oh, looky Lou. How about that?
Yeah.
What'd you buy? What'd you buy it on CD? You bought a iTunes download? What did you do?
I bought it on CD.
Okay. Mm. And you just don't like those. The one Radiohead album everybody understands is the one you don't get. What about the other ones? You ever tried the other ones?
Well, I like the Bends.
Oh, you like the Bends.
I feel a little more. It's a little more, fun or emotional or whatever,
Yeah, you know that fun Radiohead album? Yeah. It's like, yeah, that fun one, the Bends. There's no fun Radiohead albums. So stop looking for any fun. There's other places to go get fun.
That's what I've learned, I guess.
Go get a Miami Sound Machine album you want fun. Right? You guys looking at Radiohead for fun. Go get a Black Eyed Peas album. All right, you're driving me nuts.
That drove you nuts, really?
A little bit, because he's talking about these things. Radiohead is denying him the fun that he thought he was going looking for fun. Like, just can't find any fun on these Radiohead albums. Let's see, one more and then, wrong button. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Amy from Portland.
Amy from Portland?
Yeah.
How are you, Amy?
I'm doing good. I'm just cooking dinner.
Amy, are you going to see Sharpling and Worcester live when they come to Portland?
We actually got tickets the very first day that they were out.
Good move.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I didn't want to be one of those whiners that couldn't get tickets.
Yeah, thank
so.
You. Look, it's going to sell out. It's going to sell out in a matter of moments. Then everybody else crying in Portland, I don't want to hear it when they're like...
I won't have an extra ticket to sell them, so they better get their tickets now.
Yeah, exactly. So, Amy, do you have something for the topic? Is there something you don't get?
Yeah, so I've tried and I've tried and I've never got Seinfeld.
You can't understand Seinfeld?
It's like, it's funny from time to time. Like, the Soup Nazi episode mm-hmm. was funny, okay. kind of, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. I tried.
Just don't like it. Which character do you like the most?
I don't know. I like don't I I've tried it enough, but I not well enough to know who I like. Elaine, maybe.
I like Elaine.
She's pretty funny. She's like consistently funny, I think.
Do you think it might be that you don't like the character Seinfeld on Seinfeld?
I was like jumping up and down with joy when you put him on the 100.
The
like
worst
I did a like impromptu worst, gig yeah. at home when you put him on the
worst 100 fiction. We did it over the last few weeks. The list of the worst 100 fictional characters of all time. What number did Seinfeld come in at? Very high. I think he might have come in at 2.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Because he's like the weak link on the whole thing, right?
No, I know. And it's like, it would be a much better show without that character, but then it's named after him, so you can't kill him off.
Well, what if that show was called Crystal, and you just swap Seinfeld out for Billy Crystal, and you just have him in that role, right?
I think you found a way to make it worse.
That, suddenly you'd be begging for Seinfeld. To come back.
Yeah, at that point, I probably would.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal is not going to play the straight man. He would give it something.
He'd have to be
so what
like
you're saying is that when I watch
little...
Seinfeld and I get angry, I should just imagine Billy Crystal and then all of a sudden I'll get into it more?
What? Say that again?
Like, so when I watch Seinfeld and I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me,
you just imagine
Billy Crystal.
Imagine Billy Crystal in it. And then remember Michael Richards' Laugh Factory tirade and know that Seinfeld is hate speech free. You're not going to get that. He's not going to burst into waves of unchained hatred. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Billy Crystal would not be able to play that straight.
He would because it would, you know... He wouldn't give people their money's worth. He's in a, you know,
still
he's there to be
him.
Funny. Yeah, still fooling.
Still fooling him. He's always making that face. That's a certain era of a performer where they always have that, they pull that face. Like Paul McCartney always does that kind of like that, ooh.
Yeah, right,
face,
yeah.
Like with his mouth.
I know exactly.
Oh.
Sure, right.
Yeah, like, it's like, I'm not a baby. Why are you... You're making faces as if you're in front of a crib.
Yeah.
Trying to get a baby to smile.
Yeah, he does that face. Also, the Mr. Saturday Night did that face a lot, too. That character in the movie with the same name.
Mr. Saturday Night. I love anybody who has their opus that they're waiting to get to. And then there's just a point where it's like, it's not going to work. Like, you're not going to match the thing he sees. I need to tell the story of Buddy Young Jr., the whole thing, and he's working on this epic Mr. Saturday. Like, in his mind, like, he cashed every chip he had to do that. All the goodwill from When Harry Met Sally and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of an expensive movie. Oh, and he directed it, too.
Yeah. So, you know, in his mind, he saw awards.
Yeah.
You know. And the award for best director goes to Billy Crystal, Mr. Saturday Night.
Well, that's back when you can still make movies for adults. Oh, wait, they didn't show up either.
people don't want, everything's got to have the kids. I just made a thing. Like, who's that for? It's like not for any, like no adult wanted.
It wasn't even for like the Jews. I don't even think they came out for it.
I don't think it was for anyone who was in show business at that point, like would not have wanted to see a
a look back at it as told by him.
Oh, great. I'm getting criticized from the cabin boy guy. That's what he's thinking right now. He's
great.
Nice.
The,
I'm sorry. No, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And so is Andy Kindler, who I have heard is actually funny.
He's very funny. Yeah, oh, great. I'm listening to the best show, and then the guy from Cabin, the guy who directed Cabin Boys, putting down Mr. Saturday Night.
Who's he to talk?
Yeah. The great thing about that show, The Comedians, was that every episode had, like, they would have three or four, because it's like a behind-the-scenes thing. It would just be like, well, you're with the... They'd have all these things that just pump up Billy Crystal. But it would just be like, oh, my God, it's Billy Crystal. Like, people, like... Oh, well, Billy Crystal, what are you doing here? Oh, my God, I'm a huge fan. Like, every episode had a few of these, like, things that were just meant to make it look like anybody would just be blown away that Billy Crystal walked into the... Oh, my God, it's Billy Crystal.
I never saw it. I saw the commercial. So how many episodes?
I think they did 13.
And how'd it do? Is it coming back?
It's not. It just got canceled.
Oh.
But, yeah. Gad, Josh Gad, take it on the chin. Bad week. Bad week to be Josh Gad.
Wait, what was the
Pixels.
Oh, that's right. He's in Pixels. At first they were saying that was doing really well. They were surprised, like Sandler fooled them all. But then by Sunday I was reading, no, this is a disaster.
It's just,
But it did came in number one or number two, I guess.
I think it came in number two. That movie ain't cheap. You think it's cheap to get Pac-Man like, to
right,
show up?
Right.
Pac-Man doesn't come through the door for... Pac-Man doesn't get out of bed for less than 50 grand. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hey.
I got one for the topic. I don't like figure skating. I don't know what the deal is with that.
You don't like figure skating?
That's good.
And you've tried?
No, I've skated, you know, many times, but I don't
What kind of skating have you done? Down
just
in Tampa.
Getting around the rink, you know, just doing twirls and stuff, just around the rink.
Okay.
You know?
So angry about it.
I can appreciate figure skating. I have watched it for, since 1980, you know, since the Olympics. And, I don't get it, man.
No.
I think it's a good one, actually.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a little... That one you have to let go, because that's like...
Or is it just stating the obvious? I don't know.
I always think of it as the kind of thing where it's like one that's like your... It's like when people say to me, it's like, you should like Steely Dan. And it's like, okay, there's things I like that sound like Steely Dan. I just don't like Steely Dan.
Paul Sims likes Steely Dan. Did you read the conversation? He really...
Paul Sims likes Steely Dan.
Yeah, and I respect him for it because he's really, you know, he's into it. He likes them and he appreciates them. I guess I like a couple of their songs. I don't know. I really don't know.
But to me, it sounds like music you hear when like somebody's trying to sell you a stereo system and they play.
That's
like,
true. That is.
They play Steely Dan at the stereo store.
Right.
Listen to the. Just listen.
Asia.
Like you're in like the. The audio room at the stereo store.
Yeah, they've got the quad 8-track they put in.
And
of,
the guy's
Asia.
He's got like the buttons to press. Like it's like, oh, it's your speaker too. And they press it, and it's suddenly it's like you hear like the speakers, and it's just it's like listen to that. That's a Peg. We're gonna play Peg. Listen to the hi-hat on that.
Yeah.
So can I ring you up for that? Can I ring you up for that stereo?
No.
Yes, you can, as long as it doesn't come with this Steely Dan album. Caller, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. Who is this?
This is Josh from Salem, Oregon.
What's going on tonight, Josh?
Not much. I got one for the topic.
What do you got?
How about Ariel Pink?
I've tried Ariel Pink. I've heard a couple things I never really tried. Beyond a point to get into Ariel Pink. Is that something that's hard to get into?
I feel like he shows up all the time on other stuff that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he's all over, and I've tried, and I don't get it. He seems a little bit too smug.
All right. Yeah, I just never tried. Sorry. Maybe I'll try. Maybe I won't. Hmm. You, Adam Resnick, you author of...
will not attend in paperback as of today. And that's available in stores, right? Like bookstores will have the paperback now.
Yeah, I haven't checked, I assume.
Your Letterman thing, by the way, when you were promoting the book, was one of the funniest things, because you just like, you seem like you're one of the few people who can like give him the business.
Oh, yeah. The first one, the second one was not quite as good. He had me on again.
But when you were just saying the thing about Disneyland, that's another great story in the thing, in the book, about you and your family going to Disney World?
Yeah.
Disney World, yes. Right. Yes, and you were at the chocolate buffet. What was it? The
Tomorrowland dessert party cafe buffet or something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tomorrowland Terrace Dessert Party, I think it was called.
Yeah, and then you saw Tinkerbell gets, like, flying around there.
On a filament or something.
And then your sister-in-law.
Yeah, it looked like a dude, I thought.
Your sister-in-law blew a fuse.
Yeah, well, that had been coming a long time.
But you like music that's more like, you like things that you'd hear on an episode of like Louie. Like it would be like a Woody Allen soundtrack.
No, that's like, come on. Yeah, that's
that music.
That New Orleans newish version of re-recorded New Orleans music that he does. He plays it. Where does he play it at? The Alice's Teacup or some place? I don't know.
Can you imagine going and watching him play clarinet all night?
Yeah, and you can't get out. You can't leave. You're in there, and I hear it's actually really expensive too. You don't just go. You have to, you know, and it's a. I think it costs you a few $100 a seat just to go in there.
To watch him do something other than the thing that you know him for.
Right.
Now you got to watch him play some Bix Beiderbecke outtakes.
Right.
Or whatever. Like he's playing...
outtakes, that's right, yeah.
Like, I got a brand new hat.
Sidney Bechet.
Like songs like that.
Yeah, right. I got a brand new Tin Roof Blues.
But you like music like right?
No, sir. No, that's that guy's his powerhouse. Yeah, what's his name? That guy that did for the Looney Tunes. I forget that guy. Randolph something Scott.
Sure,
Raymond Scott.
Raymond Scott.
Yeah, now that's the '40s. That's too late for me.
Okay, you like music? It's who is this old music you like? Who are these artists?
God, now you just wouldn't just throw it out like that. There's a guy, Wilton Crawley, I like. Okay. Those are my favorite tracks. You ought to see My Gal by Wilton Crawley. Jelly Roll Morton plays piano on that track. That's one of my probably favorite jazz tracks. That's probably like 1929.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
And how did you get into that stuff?
I just like that sound. I like that sound, man. I don't know what it is. I didn't know what it, I used to hear it in the cartoons, they used to show those, did they still show some of those black and white cartoons when you were a kid, like on cable? We had like not that much cable, but the Philly channels, you'd see like these old cartoons that have those Fleischer cartoons that have those jazz scores, and that's, and I really like that, but I didn't know what it was called or anything, but,
And then you're just like,
I started collecting 78s and learning about it and got more specific the more I learned about it that I realized that the really good stuff wasn't recorded after 1932. It was like probably between 1925 and 1932, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
See, my ear can detect the first strains of swing, and that's disgusting. That's awful. That's crap. And that's because around 1933, 34, they started removing the banjo from the orchestras, and that it lost that sound, and then came that swing sound, which I detest.
Okay. So you don't like jing, you like jing 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 jing, like that kind of banjo driving it.
Right.
Okay.
That syncopation, that old, that syncopated rhythm that started in the 20s.
So like Woody
Woody does a version of that, but it's like sort of like the new, his stuff reminds me more of that, New Orleans funeral music. I mean, a lot of good jazz came out of New Orleans. I mean, Louis Armstrong came out of New Orleans, but
But what about like the guys like the like all that kind of who are the big band leaders from back then who you can't stand?
from that four, all that, yeah. You know, Tommy Dorsey, Glenn yeah. Miller, yeah. You know, Swing and Sway with Sammy Kaye, all that crap, all that yeah. stuff that Bobby Sockers listened to.
Yeah.
That all started in like the, you know, mid-30s mm-hmm. garbage.
And do you have 78s that you collect?
Yeah, like... I still have a lot of those. Mm-hmm. I don't collect them anymore because they're impossible to find. Now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like what's the craziest one you ever bought?
I never paid any money for them. They were always just flea market finds. Sure. And they, by the way, very hard to find. It was mm-hmm. like you didn't find them. Probably, yeah. I mentioned in my book, probably Hatchet Head Blues with the old Southern Jug Band.
Okay. So not like...
No, I don't even like the record that much. That's probably the most valuable record. One of them. I don't have a great collection, like mm-hmm. people like Terry Zweigoff have or
yeah.
Joe Bizard or, you know, those guys.
Sure. But it's not like...
Because I never found... Pennsylvania, it was a lousy place to look for those good records. Because
mm-hmm. the thing is, like, I would go look at, like, my grandparents' records, and it'd be like... And then you see, it's like, man, oh boy, did my... They just had, like, bad taste. It'd be like, if only Engelbert Humperdinck was, like, if he's collectible, suddenly there's, like, a weird wave of that, then, like... Like, I'm on easy street.
Oh, yeah, you'll never, yeah, your grandparents' stuff isn't worth
it's
anything.
So, no, it's, yeah, just like, you, it's like a garbage heap
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
like, it's the dump.
Yeah, that's how, you know how many times I would go, I'd try to track people down. Oh, I have some old records, and it's just all crap. I'm, no, 78s, yeah. Well, I got them, and bring it, like, you know.
And you go.
Dinosaur, you know, or this one I know is worth money. It's like Bing Crosby, White Christmas. They printed 2 billion of those. The planet will blow up. There'll still be some of those 78s
floating
Bing Crosby.
In space.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah. 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 It'll be that and A Taste of Honey, the... Herb Alpert.
Oh, you know, the 33. Yeah, that's true. I can picture that cover, too. Yeah. That's, it's just all...
The whipped cream.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
You have that record, Mike? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, I got a question for you, too.
What do you got?
So, I learned recently that there's a sequel to that song, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To.
Yeah, it's called Judy's Turn to Cry.
Exactly, exactly.
The revenge
song. Judy's Turn to Cry.
Yeah.
Exactly. She gets her comeuppance.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you knew of any, or if you had any ideas for songs that you thought deserved sequels, where the story wasn't finished yet.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a very good question. Song that would have a sequel.
Yeah, because I know there's a Return of Jackie and Judy by the Ramones. That's the only one I could really think of where it's like mm-hmm. a real sequel.
What about
and even that one's kind of phoned in?
What about if there was a sequel to Young Turks by Rod Stewart? Young Turks 2, because it ends with like Jackie gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy, yo yo, right? Young hearts be free tonight. And then, like, you find out where those guys are at now, right?
That's good.
Not happy. It wouldn't be happy.
What about the Ballad of Dwight Frye, Alice Cooper? Like, does he ever get out? And what happens?
That'd be a good one.
Does he get a job?
That he's just like, yeah, I like
that. He probably cleans up eventually. They have to, you know.
That's a great song.
I like that song.
Yeah. Somebody's saying here, Disco Duck should have a sequel. How is it that, like, look at this, think about this. Not that I'm making it about me again, but I'm gonna for a second. A guy like Rick Dees, mm-hmm. no discernible talent, except for that he just plays the game. Records this thing, Disco Duck.
Right.
Clearly he must have just been playing his own record and just ran his own thing up the charts. You know, hey.
Oh, it was the legend was that he was the first one that played it. And
I mean,
it into
if you're
hit,
in radio.
Or
and,
that, yeah, or what's the.
But it's just like this guy, yeah. Rick Dees, could yeah. buy and sell me. He could throw money at me and make me dance and just. Like, is that fair? Is that fair, Adam?
No. It's
in
not,
life?
It's
not fair.
No.
Is it fair that a guy like Mike is cleaning up the way he's finding his second. He's in his, like. Renaissance now.
Right.
And I'm just here in the tank. I'm in the tank with this. I'm hemorrhaging money. here.
Really? I mean, with but this you're, show. But how can that be? Seriously. Now, I sat here tonight. You were entertaining for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you do it. You make it look easy.
Well, it happened. It's just going to be, you carved that on my tombstone then. He made it entertaining for three.
Maybe, you know, is it that you're perceived as East Coast? They don't think, you know, it's, no, he's an East Coast guy, you know.
Maybe I should just be turning this into a TV show or something. Maybe that's what the problem with this show is, right? It should just be like, make it a TV show. Maybe everybody get it then. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't get it. Maybe I got to write a book, but I'll never write a book as good as Will Not Attend, so I'm not going to even try that.
That's really nice.
It's in paperback now.
Raccoon Face liked it.
Raccoon Face did like it. It's probably the funniest book I've ever read. There's a great story about your musical love in that and you chasing after
Jimmy Rogers picture disc.
Yeah. It's so great. And so when did you work on SNL? I wasn't clear on that.
It was actually, I think it was the year, maybe the 2 years after Cabin Boy, but it was when Chris was there, and Chris brought me up, and Jim Danny was there, and who I knew a little bit, and he, you know, they really needed writers at the time. That's when then there was a lot of trouble. Remember, like, it was the cut that New York Magazine.
Saturday Night Dead.
Yeah, so they were... you know, trying to overhaul everything. But it was a really big cast. So that guy from Kids in the Hall was there, and I think Janine Garofalo and Chris. It was an awkward cast, and people like Adam Sandler and Farley and those guys were about to leave and do movies. And it was just, I remember, I hardly spent any time there. I went in and helped write a couple of things for Chris, but it was dreary, really grim up there.
But you stay on your feet, Adam.
Yeah.
How do you do it? I'm on the mat here. Got this cord is short-circuiting here. The headphones weren't even working. I'm going to have to hear a song and dance from Dudio about why it's Mike's fault that it happened, and Michael blame Dudio, and then Paddle stab both of them in the back.
It's dysfunctional out there. I knew it the second I came
in. It is. It's like a hornet's nest out there.
Right. But look what you do for these guys, and that's why you get up in the morning. You gave them lives, you know. You gave them.
Where do you think let's do a It's a Wonderful Life scenario right now? I turn into just get smeared on the pavement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Where does AP Mike end up?
Well, I'm just trying to think. If you get smeared on the pavement, you something happened to you. How would we monetize that? Yeah, I mean the box sets are already doing well. But you have a lot of tapes. You've got a lot of stuff banked, so we can maybe get a little money that way.
Okay.
But
how does my life, how does me not being here for AP Mike, how does that
actually
change?
I just realized I didn't get the concept. But I get it. Yeah, no, I think AP Mike probably, it's sad, he tries to take over for a little while.
Uh-huh. And then it just falls apart?
Yeah, pretty much. I think, it's sad. Mike, I love you. You're great. But I just think he's a little lost, but I think maybe he thinks he'll keep it going a little bit till he gets someone else in here. And then, you know, that guy would pay him, and then maybe Mike would take him to the top, and they would...
So Mike would just hope no... But Mike would be trying to move like a Dick Clark-type move and hope nobody noticed.
Right, right. Yeah.
That he doesn't bring anything to the table himself.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can't. All right. I can't say that.
Look, I think Mike would end up... Mike would end up just there would be a ski mask involved.
What?
No offense, Mike. Mike said none taken. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Jefferson from Texas. Got a quick one for the topic.
What's up, Jefferson?
Steve Miller Band. I don't get the Steve Miller Band.
Can I interject one thing?
Yeah,
sorry. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more except for like three or four tracks on Sailor. The song "Dear Mary" is one of the coolest songs of all time, but other than that, no Steve Miller, none of the '70s Steve Miller.
My parents had like a greatest hits CD that they played constantly, so I just heard like the big hits over and over and over again. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I was like, "Oh, yeah, this is fine,"
And then as I got older, I was like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And people always look at me like I'm the weird one because I don't like the Steve Miller Band.
So when a guy like you, Jefferton, is out and about in Texas,
mm-hmm.
you're driving around, you're playing your music, you're trying to just resist the urge, right? Because you're a guy. There's a gray area with you. I've spoken to you enough. What is considered a vice for you? What is a weakness for you? I think I know what it is.
I had to stop buying comic books. That was my big thing for the longest time.
It's not your pull list. I got a line on. I can hear it in your voice. You're the type of guy. You're walking down the street, got your headphones on, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see a light from a window. You can't help it. You try to fight the urge. You can't help it. Next thing you know, you're in the bushes. You're staring in the window, seeing you got that. I'm picking up on a definite peeper vibe.
I thought that was where this was going. Really.
You got that thing where you like seeing, it's like into the lives of others. You just like, what can I see? Maybe watch a Rangers game, right? The Rangers are playing the A's tonight. I'll watch it. This guy's in his lazy boy watching it. Oh, he doesn't know I'm watching from behind him, right?
Secondhand watching.
Yeah, secondhand watching. Anybody would get the thing where they could turn into, say you had the power of Ant-Man, right? Right, mm-hmm. Ant-Man. If you could, I would go shrink down and fight people and do heroic stuff. You'd be out on a shower rod, right? You'd be in the house, sitting on the bottle of conditioner. why? With a little bucket of popcorn,
like a Herb Trimpy cover.
Yeah, watching the show. Right? Am I wrong or am I a little? I'm not too far off, am I?
I feel like I'm already guilty in the court of public opinion.
That's just a vibe I pick up from you. And Steve Miller, you don't like Take the Money and Run? That would be a song that should have a sequel. Oof. Right?
Take the Money and Run. That'd be a good one.
Because, you know, they got away. Yeah. And they're still running today. Right? Billy Mac.
Right.
Yeah.
The detective. Because it's Bobby Sue and Billy Joe, right?
Yeah.
And they're on the run, and they're still running, saying, come on, take the money and run. What if it's just like Steve Miller picked it up again, like, 4 years later, Billy Joe and Bobby Sue, right?
No, it just turns into, then somehow it turns into like the River, Bruce Springsteen song.
It's just the sad part of the money runs out.
Yeah.
And then they're just living in an apartment in Passaic.
Got Billy Joe pregnant. Man, that was all she wrote. But what did they do with the money? They blew it all, of course.
Thank you, Jefferton.
Tired.
You're tired?
I'm a little tired. I mean, will one of these cabs actually take me the whole way to the city? Someone's got to
we'll
figure
it out. Don't worry.
What's that place on the one main street that said Steam Crabs? Because I love Maryland crabs. You know the place I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. And then we'll talk about it.
Steamed crabs.
You don't like, you like crabs? You know, hard shells? Maryland crabs? We'll talk about it.
I like crabs. You like crabs, Mike? I don't like regular. Okay, but boring. Never mind. He's rambling.
I brought the room down.
Tell me what you think of this. Mike, a couple years ago, he drives down to go see a friend in Florida.
Yeah.
And what he does is he loads up a cooler up here with shrimp.
Oh God! And takes it down to Santa.
And takes it down because he had his
crushed ice in there.
He was bragging about his Kinect up here.
Yeah,
that he had like a seafood. He kept calling it his Kinect.
Right.
His seafood Kinect, and he drove down. It's not like he drove to Ames, Iowa, where like it's landlocked. Drove to Florida.
No, and there was no dry ice involved, right?
No, he's just got a cooler. He's at a Quick Check buying a bag of ice.
Oh my god!
And dumping it on top of his shrimp. Right, Mike? Was the shrimp any good when you got down? Would you probably have to put a lot of balsamic vinegar on that, right? You had to cure it. To
spread the lime around in the car after that.
Now, Adam Resnick, you have the book out now. Will not attend. It's in stores. You'll be doing anything to get the word out? Anything exciting?
Yeah, a couple things here and there.
All right.
Yeah, they're, you know, whatever. It's the paperback, so.
Where can people find out about those things? Anywhere?
I guess probably on the Penguin website.
Okay.
And, there's a reading at Book Court. I forget the date. Hold it. I think it's next week. Okay, hold on. Just give me a second here.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
And I'm going to say in the meantime.
Yeah.
Sharpling and Worst are playing live this late August, early September. Four shows. Amazing shows. Seattle. We're playing at Numo's on August 27th. August 29th, Saturday, August 29th. Portland, Oregon, the Doug Fir. Thursday, September 3rd, San Francisco, Great American Music Hall. And Saturday, September 5th, Los Angeles, El Rey Theater. Get these tickets now. Shows are selling, and tickets are selling. I'm telling you, dominoes are going to start dropping on these things, and then you're going to start crying if you missed out on tickets. Especially
true dat.
People in, I'm not going to name which one, but it's Portland. It's about to go. Domino's going to fall. Don't miss out. So Thursday night, Book Court in Brooklyn. You will be reading from the book?
Reading from the book. A woman, Jen Dahl, who's also part of Under the Umbrella of Penguin, will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Hill, who you know, will be
there.
Sure.
Dave's a good guy.
Yep. Great guy. And it's just about good times. Someone asked James Brown once I heard he was on a show. He had just sang a song in what was that awful Dan Aykroyd movie in the early 80s?
Oh, which one? The one?
The one
awful
the crazy one?
Dr. Detroit.
Yeah, and James Brown, I think, was in it and sang a song and so on. And so on. And maybe it was on Letterman days. So what's that movie about Dr. Detroit? And James Brown said, oh, about good times. You know, David. But I realized, you know, how could you describe that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to describe that movie.
It's about good times.
Okay, you know, I put dot, 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 and he didn't know where to go with it.
Oh, you know, Dave.
David.
It's just about good times.
David. Well, he did the intro for that one of the shows he did. It was like that Bill Wendell used to do it tonight, you know, late mm-hmm. night within it. And one of the guests was Father Guido Sarducci.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I forget why, he said when he was rehearsing it, he said, no, I can't say Guido. I can't say Guido because I was someone very close to my church. I can't say Guido. So if you ever see that, he did that. And then also, Father Sarducci.
He said, "Fathers, oh my God!"
Yeah, I don't know. It was something interesting. It was somebody felt he was adamant about it that he wouldn't say Guido.
Got to take a stand somewhere, right? At some point, he had to take a stand somewhere.
Yeah,
he stood. Yeah, James Brown, late great, a raccoon face might not know he's dead too.
That's a good point,
my friends. Thank you for listening to the best show. We will be back next week. Thank you to Adam Resnick for coming down. I appreciate it.
Thank you from all of us.
I hope you come down.
Listeners.
Any week you want to come down, you just come and you hang out.
That's something I'm going to do. I'm going to get some crabs on that street.
You and Mike have a crab eating contest, right?
You'll eat it.
Yeah. Well, let Mike go get his from his
Connect.
Orthodox?
Yeah. He'll get his Connect. Get his Connect.
His Connect. Yeah. We'll hook you both up with some crabs. All right. Once again.
Thanks, Tom. And
check out those tour dates at StereoLaughs.com, LAFFS. You can check out Adam's book, Will Not Attend. Penguin put it out. There's a lot, I guess, public appearances and readings are up at the Penguin website. Next week at?
Thursday at Book Court in Brooklyn.
Next Thursday, Book Court
this
in
Thursday.
Brooklyn.
Thursday. Actually, day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow,
yeah,
we'll be in Brooklyn Book Court. Check it out.
Thanks. I'm pretty sure. Double check.
All right.
Book Court site.
And I'm going to say good night and thanks to, once again, Pat Byrne has his show Prove It All Night this Saturday, August 1st, 9 p.m., live at WFMU's Performance Space It's Pat with Christy Cielo, Nate Fernald, Brett Davis, and Dan Licata, and music from Sunshine and the Rain. You find out more about that over at WFMU.org. Go see it live. It's always a great show. And we will be back next week, and here is something by The Raining Sound to play us out. And I will see you all next week. Thank you, and good night.